you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I hope you've been enjoying the show so far, because I know I have, and some of our listeners have, too.
Live, this is Dancing with the Stars.
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
I can't believe you don't shut up.
Kevin, where's the baby?
I don't know. I thought you had him.
They still got it.
Baby, where's my cigarettes, huh?
If they're up your ass, you'd know.
Shut up, white girl.
Kevin, Kevin, Bean. It's a man.
First, tell me what's going on with the boobs.
Look at the board. I think it's going to do... Hey, Ed, look at the board.
Spin.
Do it.
Look at this.
Do it. Let me hear the band once in this whole program.
Roll it.
They didn't do it.
And now,
awkward,
our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:32, and it is Wednesday, the 28th of March. Kabow bow. Sing it if you don't.
Simon says,
deplorable.
America says,
adorable.
Because we love your dimples. Your hairdo never simple. You are a handsome fella. Prettier than Antonella. You are the pick for me. Because Zendaya means victory. Zendaya, Zendaya. Don't set this place on fire. Zendaya.
See, Zendaya, gonna set this place on fire.
Okay.
Got it.
See, because he's the bad contestant on American Idol.
Who made a song about Sanjaya?
I don't know. A listener sent it to me and said, this is funny, might want to play it.
Has there ever been a contestant who has generated more heat for sucking? I mean, since William Hung.
Yeah,
William Hung was probably the gold standard, yeah. But he didn't even make, you know, he didn't even make the top 50 on that show.
Yeah, true.
This guy's in the top 10.
Which means he's probably going to get a record deal of some kind.
Oh, no. Because he's not bad enough to be funny, he's just bad enough to be bad.
Now, I don't watch the American Idol. I hate that show. But I love the voting for the bad guy. I mean, to me, that's so me in every single way, to take the worst singer and to get people to start voting for him. I know that some other DJs are doing it. I know we talked to the guy from VoteForTheWorst.com.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like America is rallying around Sanjaya.
Yes.
Because he's bad.
I was watching the show last night. And by the way, I wanted to mention this while I was thinking about it. One of your early and legitimate complaints about American Idol is how irrelevant most of the songs are that they do on that show.
That's always, huge, by the way. That's one of my biggest pet peeves.
Dionne Warwick and Kenny Rogers. And I understand why nobody wants to hear those songs anymore. This year has really been, I mean, it seems like they made a huge effort to make it a lot more contemporary. Last night, for instance, they were doing The Cure, for instance.
Sure.
No Doubt songs last night. I mean, it was way different this season. It's been a lot more rock and roll this season than there has been in previous years, for what it's worth. But anyway, so last night I'm watching the show with my wife, as we do, and I said to her as the show ended, I said, dude, I have to call and vote for Sanjaya.
Yes!
It really is the funny thing. And she said, how dare you? She's furious. She's like, are you kidding me? He sucks. He's dying. I'm like, that's why you need to vote for him.
That's the point.
And she was talking about how miserable it must be for him because the other contestants know that he sucks and know that just because for some reason he's captured the imagination of the people right now, there are really good singers who are going home really early because of him, and they just have to be—they just have to hate him.
Well, I think part of it is that it's so rare when you can make a difference in anything, especially a show like this.
Yeah.
And if enough people get around and do this, they can keep voting him in each week. And clearly, he didn't deserve to be in the top 10, from what I hear. I heard one song from him.
Yeah.
Bad. And I don't watch the show, but I love the idea of you know, because Simon gets more angry every week.
Well, I have a clip coming up in the show, Bizbeat. I have a little clip of Sanjaya singing last night and a little clip of what Simon said, who has now just given up on trying to critique him.
Excellent.
Because it's impossible. And Sanjaya came out last night with a Jed the Fish style hairdo. He had how do I describe this? He had the little clips, you know, do you make like a ponytail, except he had like 7 of them on his head, starting from the top of his head, going all the way back. So it was a faux hawk, basically. His hair was straight up on the top of his head all the way back.
Are we going to find out that he's just an actor? He's just a comedian?
I don't think so, because I saw him in the auditions with his sister, and I don't think that was the case at all. Yeah, his sister was
sister's
hot.
Sister's hot?
Yeah.
So hot. Monstrous boobies.
Oh, monstrous boobs, yeah.
Jed the Fish, what do you think about people ripping off your hair?
It's 106.7 KROQ. I remember I met Sanjaya at a Yaz show in Moscow in 2003. And I told him, I give you my blessing because your hair is stunning.
That's about right.
All right.
That's
good.
Right. Anyway, so you will hear some highlights of that coming up. Hey, Sanjaya.
Set the place on fire. Sanjaya.
Not that I'm not fascinated with this conversation, but there's important business on the table here, and that is that traditionally, Lisa, when somebody has an operation, they show the scar. They say, hey, coworkers, look
That's
where
true.
They cut me. Traditionally, you come in and you demonstrate where you were operated on for everybody in the office.
Well, I don't think we have the right equipment for that, to tell you the truth. We need a speculum,
we have
and
eyes.
A really bright light.
We have eyes, and we have a magnifying glass, and we need one. Although we wouldn't need a magnifying glass now as a result of the G shot. Did you say something to Psycho Mike when you came in about you went for the double shot last? You got the espresso? What happened?
I didn't ask for it. He came in, Dr. Matlock, and he said, we're giving you the double shot. I've never given anyone a double shot.
Never?
You
don't
want to
be first.
One.
No, the experimental guinea pig. You don't want to be that person.
Apparently I am
Those
that person.
Those are the last words you want to hear. I've never done this before.
Oh, my God. So what is it like? Is it like you have a penis now?
It's funny because not that you know where the G-spot is. Do we need to run any sort of...
Well, probably we should. I don't know how many kids are.
It's actually before 6. I think we're okay.
We're okay.
We are, but just in case, you know.
Due to some graphic and mature content, parental discretion is advised.
And we do want to warn you that some of the language in this story is strong, and it may offend you, it may offend some other people. We have decided to leave it in the story for you to decide.
Okay.
Just be careful, Lisa, that's all.
Okay, so the G-spot is in and up.
Right.
I don't think you have to go up anymore. I don't think there's any up. I think it's that big now.
Really?
I didn't do any exploration last night because there was a little bit of bleeding, which is not unusual. And I think when you get the double shot, there's a little more.
Sure.
So I didn't really check it out.
That isn't good for you.
No.
And I was like, everything has changed.
For those of you that don't know, she did this because supposedly it's going to make sex much better.
Yes. Well, gosh, I mean, because the G-spot's not really that easy to reach.
Accessible.
And during normal... relations, right. You're not necessarily all that close to it.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, parental discretion is advised.
So you don't have to just date guys with hooks anymore. Now you can date a guy with just a regular penis. Right?
Yeah, because she's tired of hooks.
We use the pulley system usually to, like, ratchet me up into the right position for that. It's right there. I think it's, like, right on the path.
The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
So, tomorrow is when you're testing
it out.
Unless Psycho Mike can tie you down today.
Exactly.
Well, that's my next question is, you know, you kind of have a sense of how women react to you as a man.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of know whether women find you hot or not. And I don't know if you're going to be able to deal with the fact that Mike and I are in the room. I mean, we might need to hire security to keep her off us.
It is
you know
now
what I mean?
Sexually charged now that Lisa has this new thing.
She's been all hands for like the last 3 weeks anyway.
Right. Well, in anticipation,
now,
of course. And one of the side effects is like constantly thinking about sex.
Right,
it's one
exactly.
of the possible side effects. Or it can destroy your relationship. That was on the list.
That was on the list.
Yes.
Here's the thing with the disclaimers. They have to put everything on the list.
It's 2 pages long.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It can cause
the American Humane Association monitor the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this program.
Did they really have to warn you that you could die as a result of getting the G-shot?
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
They have to warn you that no matter what you have done, hospital or wherever.
Yeah, if you have a splinter taken out of your finger, they tell you you could
die. Clearly, what's about to happen on our stage is very dangerous. Seems obvious, but we should underscore it. Please, don't try this or anything resembling this. At home.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised. Due to the graphic nature of this program, parental discretion is advised.
All right.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
You must be 18 or older to listen in on this line. If you are not, hang up now.
So sure, they have.
And we do want to warn you that some of the language in the...
Oh, I already played that one.
All right, so we'll hear more about that later. Lisa did have the G-Shot operation yesterday, and I guess the K-Rock microphones were there. I guess Super Whore went down with your sister producer, Alex.
Yep.
And like doing an interview during a medical procedure, I think, is good, is especially when the doctor's never done it like that before.
She
good,
actually,
good
she did like color commentary.
She did.
She totally did.
How about that?
That was impressive.
Like, oh, it's pink. That kind of color?
No.
Oh.
She didn't. I don't think she saw that part, but she saw everything going in, which I didn't want to see.
Okay, the doctor's in up to his elbow, that kind of thing. Oh my God, he just fell.
What?
Hello, hello, hello.
Things like, wow, that needle's long.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I hate needles, said. And that sounds scary to me.
He said, "Do you want to see them beforehand?" I said, "Nope, don't want to see them. No, don't want to have any idea what they look like."
But so you think you're going to be able to control yourself?
They're long.
Well,
I'm trying to stay over here on this side. I may buckle in.
I know it's tough.
Oh.
Do you buckle in?
I may buckle in my chair.
Okay.
Just well, congratulations, Lisa.
Thank you.
We think. We're not sure.
I'm sure it'll be good.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
It's Wednesday morning. Tomorrow morning, we have Chris Cornell coming into the studio, and he's going to play a bunch of stuff. He's going to play stuff from Soundgarden. He's going to play stuff from Audio Slave. He's going to play stuff from Temple of the Dog.
I'm not going to unbuckle for that.
I was
about to say, do we not find it coincidental that Lisa May gets her G-Shot the day before Chris Cornell is coming in?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I was joking about me, but her with Chris Cornell, we might need to tie her down.
I may just disappear at some point.
Put her in a straitjacket in the corner.
It'd be a tsunami.
Yeah.
That'd be a great way to break it in, though, wouldn't it, Lisa?
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Hello.
So he's going to come into the studio. We have a little performance studio, and basically he's bringing a full band, plugging in, and there's not going to really be room for anybody else, but we're going to squeeze in some winners.
Or just throw them on the floor.
Yeah. So this morning we're going to have you play a contest so that you can be one of four people that are going to be sitting in the studio with him while he performs tomorrow.
Okay.
So that's coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk about Lisa's G-Shot. Very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to convince Bean that he's accident prone.
How dare you?
Because Bean's the guy who is legally blind and driving, and people say, you know what? You should probably get out. No, I'm fine. What are you talking about? I can see fine. That's him. He's got all the symptoms of something, and yet he denies that he has
right.
it. No one's more accident prone that I've ever met in my life than Bean.
Yet I haven't been married to my wife for over 16 years, have never spent a night in a hospital, never broken a bone, except for my foot in that accident 15 years ago. How often am I sick and miss work?
We have
less
a list.
Than a week probably since we've been working
sick
here.
Sick is not the same thing. Sick is not accident.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just adding that on to all the other things. I'm enormously lucky that I've been so healthy and so trouble-free my whole life.
Sure you have. We have a list of things that have happened to you. We all sat down, mainly Lightning sat down, and kind of just recapped everything
right.
that goes on with Bean. And then we're going to let the listeners decide. And we're going to take calls from listeners who believe they're accident-prone. And they're going to tell us the kind of stuff that happens to them, and then we're going to decide once and for all.
Well, and I think people who are accident prone are generally people who are thinking of other things while they're doing stuff, so they're
right.
not concentrating. That's totally Bean.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, he's got so much on his mind all the time. He's trying to keep track
very
of facts
busy.
About
that
the
is true.
Post office
That's
and 7-Eleven.
He's got to be
he just goes on and
researching
on.
All that BS that he tells us about that we
exactly.
don't care.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. In the Philippines, there is a police chief who says that if his officers, quote, sway their hips too much, they can be fired. It's sounds like a homophobic, police chief. Honestly.
I think it's a homophobic country.
So, yeah, because I think we decided that was the one where the gay cruise ship, they
was
wouldn't let dock.
Away? I think it was the Philippines.
I think so. But the police chief is saying if you're gay, fine, don't tell anybody. Don't ask, don't tell.
Right.
But if you walk in a way that he says, quote, swishy,
well,
you could be fired.
Feminine.
You'll be fired for fishy. For swishy, I mean. That's not right.
Or fishy.
Or fishy, yeah. Depending on man or woman. we're going to talk about a guy who got kicked out of a pub for farting too much. That's coming up.
Oh, good.
And there's a junior high student that wants Lisa to come to his play. That's coming up.
I loved his little email.
So that, why is it little? Why is his email
well,
little? Same
like
size as everybody
in
else's.
In eighth grade. It's just cute.
And also don't forget to listen all week and all day today to score a key that could start your own Honda Civic Hybrid. It's custom designed by Fall Out Boy. You get tickets to see their Honda Civic Tour, and you get backstage passes, and you get their new CD, Infinity on High. So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus Tyra Banks really blows. The Showbiz Beat is next.
So, Ralph Garman on vacation this week. He'll be back on Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll be operating at full strength. In the meantime, we are filling in for him with the Showbiz Beat. You know that story that we talked about yesterday about Eddie Griffin crashing the $1.5 million Ferrari?
Right.
I don't know why. If you didn't hear this story, by the way, he was in promoting. I guess he was practicing for some sort of a charity race at the Irwindale Speedway, and ran right into a wall. And they had it on video, and they were showing it all over the TV yesterday. I'm not sure why, but TMZ.com is suggesting that the whole thing may have been nothing more than a publicity stunt to get people talking about the movie in which he drives another one of these cars in the film. They're suggesting somehow he may have done it on purpose. And one of the things that they wrote about on the website is that there's a guy standing there who doesn't even look up. As Eddie Griffin's car hits the cement, didn't even look up. Like, he expected it to happen. He knew it was coming.
So it was just a plan.
Well, that's what they're suggesting. I mean, who's gonna burn $1.5 million car? And the guy who owns the car by coincidence is one of the producers of the movie. I mean, he's got a vested. It's not like he's just a guy who owns a car and the movie company borrowed it. He's invested.
If you have insurance, right? I mean,
what
the hell?
But they're not going to pay if you did it on purpose.
Well, they don't know.
Yeah. I agree. I watched that video. There's like a photographer like 9 feet away from impact point, and he doesn't even flinch.
That's what they're saying.
I mean, by the way, there's also the video that I saw online. There's also him driving, and then you don't see why he crashes, but then the video picks up like right when he hits the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't see what caused it.
Yeah,
that looked weird to me. I was like, why is there a cameraman right there? And he starts filming, and I mean within. It's actually as he hits the wall. It's not like he just saw it hit the wall and now he's filming.
Right.
And
I saw that too.
And Eddie is so, I mean, I understand he's a comedian and it's not his car, so maybe he would be, you know, have kind of a lax attitude about it, but not the slightest bit upset or
well, you'd be shaken
affected
up.
By the crash. You'd be shaken up. Yeah,
really
just by running into a wall at that speed, you'd think you'd feel it a little bit, but it's almost like he jumps out and he already knows what he's going to say is, oh, undercover brother man, he can do karate, but he can't drive. You know what I mean? He's just like, it's almost like he's ready. So you start to think about all that together. Here's our car expert now, producer Lightning, guest Light.
You guys are all tards. It's real. It's real.
How do you know?
You can tell by the way he goes into the turn. He hits the brakes and it plows straight forward.
He did exactly what he was coached to do, right?
No, what coached to do?
He wasn't going 150.
Yeah, he was going 60 miles an hour in an Enzo Ferrari designed to corner. How would he just lose control?
What do you mean designed to corner? If he's going, say, 60 miles an hour and hits the brakes and then decides to turn, it turned a little bit, but it plows right into it. You're saying that they destroyed $1.5 million car just for a stunt?
Yeah.
No. What we're saying is TMZ.com is suggesting that that may have been their plan to publicize the film, Eddie Griffin, this car, red lines coming out. No one ever heard of it before. Now everybody's showing this video of Eddie Griffin in a car. It would be worth $1.5 million if it worked.
No. No.
They're insane.
They're insane and you're insane.
Lightning.
Wait a minute. Can't he have insurance? And then what the hell? No money out of his pocket, maybe a small, you know, whatever.
Well, but the insurance company could find out if they said it.
Yeah, but listen, I'm not saying.
But how do you prove it?
How do you prove it? Right.
Who owns the car? Okay, the producer of the movie owns the car.
The producer of the movie.
And how do you know it's not a good kit car like they use in the actual movies when they do these huge crashes with Lamborghinis? And it could have been a really good kit car done for the promotion. It does seem a little coincidental he's promoting a movie with high-speed chases and crashes and whatnot with these
and
exotic
European
cars.
This model,
cars.
The Ferrari Enzo in the movie.
All right. Today, my goal is going to be to get to the bottom of it. Okay. I will talk to everyone around it because the car circles are small. Someone will know.
Right.
Someone will know.
And they're lowered, too.
Because if this is a model, someone here in this city will have built it.
Of course. Yeah. No one's. I mean, even if it's not a model.
And if it's not a model, then it didn't happen because there's no one's going to, not even the producer of the movie is going to wreck this
Lightning.
Car.
Lightning's too close to. He loves the car too much.
I'm telling you, it's not about the car.
If there's a guy who has that much money, who owns probably 5 or 10 of those cars, and they're insured, free publicity. What's the downside? Well, how can you not at least admit that there's a possibility of that?
There is a possibility. I admit it. But it's so infinitesimal. There's no way. If you're a car fan enough to buy that car.
Wait, hold on a second. Yep, your phone's ringing.
So you guys are high.
No, your phone at the desk. I just heard it. Sorry.
See you, Light.
I'd love to have you here.
If someone's got info, call in.
Call Jesse James right now.
What's he going to tell you?
I don't know. You said someone in L.A. built it. I'm sure he knows someone who knows something.
He's in the small car circle, isn't he? Yes,
maybe. Call Jesse Jackson right now. Maybe it's racist.
All right. Thank
now
you,
the
Lex.
Fire alarm's going off in your office. You better go check that out. All right. So anyway, that's fascinating. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Britney Spears apparently getting more done in rehab than quitting the junk. She apparently is getting thin. Again.
In rehab?
Again, TMZ.com. Reports that since checking into the Promises Rehab Center, she looks to have lost at least 10 pounds. Not bad, considering she's got another, what would you say, 50 to go?
No. Come on.
No,
60?
Not at all.
Like 20?
No, come on. Yeah,
no, I'm
like
saying
20.
Until she was, you know, in the like in her videos, like she's that hot.
Well, she'll never be that young again.
Well, she needs to be that hot again.
I'm telling you that if she could just get down to the weight she was right after the divorce last year.
Yeah, when she went on Letterman.
When she went on Letterman in that little black dress, we'd all be happy with that. And that's probably only 20 pounds away.
Yeah.
I would imagine. I'm surprised you lose weight in rehab. It seems to me that you would eat. I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking because if that's what people who quit smoking do. But
she wasn't drinking. And drinking adds a lot of weight.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah,
that could be, yeah. I don't know about drinking rehab, but I do know that when you quit stuff, your stomach is in wild turmoil because it's used to whatever.
Maybe she's
not hungry at all.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
And even if you're getting off alcohol, they give you so many drugs to prevent like seizure and withdrawal and stuff. Yeah, you lose
your
appetite.
Yeah.
I'm going to save this Sanjaya tape and the Simon rebuttal from last night's American Idol till next hour.
No!
But I do want to give some great concert update news here, and I wanted Mike's opinion on this because Slayer is going out on the road. The loudest tour of the summer is starting off July 25th on the East Coast. Marilyn Manson on the bill with Slayer. Now, that struck me as odd because it seems to me that Slayer fans would hate Marilyn Manson. Am I wrong about that?
No, that's going to be a rough mixture.
Because he's a little faggy for them, right?
But yeah, no, for sure. But the thing about Marilyn Manson is whether you like him or not, after his performance, you'll be a fan.
He's
the most dedicated performer out in hard rock right now, I think.
Exact cities and venues being out soon. Marilyn Manson's new CD, it's been a while for him. Eat Me, Drink Me is coming out in June. But Marilyn Manson and Slayer is one concert tour this summer. Another is the Family Values Tour. Of course, we had that Breakfast with Korn not too long ago. We know that they're going out. Evanescence is going out with them. The tour is going to be kicking off July 16th in St. Louis. 31 North American cities so far. Other bands on the bill include Atreyu, Flyleaf, Hell Yeah, and Trivium. Last year, by the way, and they're doing it again this year, $9.99 for lawn seats. So that's a great deal. That's a phenomenal value for Family Values. And one more. We heard something a while back, and then I kind of forgot it was happening, but those Live Earth shows are happening on July 7th. That's going to be on five different continents. It's going to be like a live aid show. It's an environmental awareness show. This is going to be the show. Philadelphia, apparently, by the way, is the U.S. city that has been chosen for the date. I knew that before anyway. Spinal Tap is going to be reuniting for it.
That's
the Police
great.
Are going to be playing. Metallica, the Rolling Stones, Block Party, James Blunt, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's going to be one of those kinds of shows where there's just dozens and dozens and dozens of big acts.
Wow.
But July 7th, we'll be hearing a lot more about it as we get closer. And I'm sure it's going to be one of these deals that's, webcast and on the TV, and there'll be a DVD and the whole deal. So you won't miss that one.
Are they going to yell at me about the environment? Is that going to happen?
They might.
I have a feeling at some point Al Gore will come out on stage and show slides. I'm afraid that's probably going to happen, yeah.
All right. Hey, let me just squeeze. I know we're running a little bit late. I want to talk to Denise in Lakewood because we were just talking about that accident and how it could have been.
Uh-huh.
On purpose. Denise, hi.
Hi.
What information do you have?
I used to work for the owner of the car. He actually is the owner of Quick Loan Funding.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not a stunt. You could totally tell he was really, really upset.
Okay, wait a minute. Are you just basing this on what you saw on TV, or have you talked to him?
I haven't talked to him, no. But you could, from my experience of working with him hands-on, you could tell he did not plan that stunt.
Okay.
We're not saying that it's a slam dunk that it was faked, but TMZ.com did bring it up that there are some suspicious things about it, namely the guy who doesn't even look up, the guy who doesn't seem at all surprised that the wreck happened. And I saw the owner of the car on the TV yesterday, and he seemed fine. He was like, well, you know, it happens. I'm just glad Eddie didn't get hurt. And I'm like, it happens. It's $1.5 million car. That doesn't happen very often.
Bobby, just turn my mic down. Bobby in El Segundo says that his buddy owns one of these cars.
Okay.
And they're not insured on a racetrack. So they wouldn't be able to use insurance. But Mike in Burbank worked on this movie.
Okay.
Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning there.
So what information do you have?
All right. Well, I didn't have to sign any secret documents or anything, and I don't work for special effects, so they can't do nothing to me.
Okay. All right.
They've made four cars of each one of those for the movie, and they were all clones. They were about $350,000 to make, and they used a clone that yesterday.
Oh.
There was no way they would destroy a $1 million car.
So you know that it was a clone, or you're guessing based on...
No, it was a clone. It was a total clone, and it was all set up, and they were talking about this for weeks on doing something, you know, to bring in, because no one didn't know about the movie.
Yeah, no kidding.
I never heard of it. Never heard of it until the video came out with Eddie Griffin. So you're telling me, let me make sure I understand, Mike, you're telling me that you do know for a fact that they made four clones of the Ferrari Enzo for the film. Do you also know for a fact that Eddie Griffin was driving one of the clones?
Yes. And they purposely did this for the movie. And they even were talking about using a GT40 for it.
All right, bring in Producer Lightning. I'd like to get his comments now that we've talked to a guy who knows.
I don't think we have time for him. Ever again. Thank you, Mike.
All right, guys. Bye. Have a good one.
$350,000, Light, does that seem a little more acceptable to you that you would intentionally wreck that car?
That does, but he's about the third person that's had a similar story that's tried to burn me. And the first guy go, you're bogus, and he goes, oh, you got me, and then hung up. So if someone works for this, and that guy was clearly stoned. So
his grips are best boys and stuff don't use drugs. It couldn't have been a real guy because he was stoned.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Could have been.
By the way, if could we discounted been. All the information we get from guys that are stoned, we'd have nothing to talk about.
Right?
We can't. There's no drug testing when you call the Kevin Beach show. I'm sorry.
I'm going to step out. I'm going to say it's possible.
Not so much talking from you.
I'm going to go to your microphone.
Listen. Celebrity birthdays today. Actress Julia Stiles from 10 Things I Hate About You and all those other movies. She's terrific, I think. She's 26 years old today. Our pal Vince Vaughn, by the way, has a birthday.
Come on.
Love
him. Jeez. I wish it said here how old he is, but we'll look it up. He's the best. He's celebrating his birthday today. And Lisa,
yes,
your old friend Reba McEntire. I know you were tight with Reba on the Reba TV show.
Yes, I have pictures of us together.
Country singer, for those of you who don't recognize the name.
Country singer and actress, and had a hit television show for, 7 years that show was on the air. Just ended recently. Turns 52 years old today, and that is the K-Rock Show Bizbee.
Bean, tell me about, was it the chairman of the Joint Chiefs that just came out recently and said that homosexuality is morally wrong? Is that who it was? Some high ranking.
It was.
Yeah, I know the guy you're talking about. Yeah. I think he might have been the chairman. Yeah. He basically came out. Yeah. And of course apologized after the fact, but said, yeah, it's morally wrong and we shouldn't have people like that in our service.
And there's long been an argument about what do we do? Do we let gay people serve? Do we not? So their don't ask, don't tell policy, which is kind of funny in itself. Because basically they're just going to say, all right, listen, we'll stick our heads in the sand and just don't tell us anything.
And they actually write that down into the law.
Ask, don't tell, for folks who don't remember, was disappointing on all sides, because there was one side who said they didn't want gay people in the service, even, by the way, though gay people have served in every army in the history of the earth. But there were some people who wanted everybody thrown out, and then there were other people who said, yeah, they should be in and they should allow to be openly gay. And the compromise that President Clinton came up with that disappointed so many of his followers was, all right, we're going to let them in, but nobody can know about it. So basically, that's what's going on in the army. And apparently, according to this story, that's also what's going on in some police forces around the world.
Yeah, I've never heard about this from the police, but it's never come up. Is are gay people allowed to serve in the LAPD? It's never come up. But in the Philippines, there is there's a police chief, and he seems to kind of hold the same view as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs or whoever that is. The Philippine National Police Chief Superintendent is named Samuel Bigdalo, and I'm sure that I said that correctly. He has now come out and said...
He came out? The guy who's against the gays came out?
It's always that in the end, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
This guy you know is going to come out.
Did you say in the end?
Philippine police issued a warning this past Thursday. They sent out a memo to all of the police officers in the Philippines and said, you can be gay, but don't tell anyone about it. And we don't want to see anything from you either. So he actually came out and said, and I swear to you, I'm getting this from the AP. It sounds like it's not possible, but I get it from the AP. Quote, if they sway their hips while marching, or if they engage in lustful conduct, they will be fired.
Sway their hips.
If they sway their hips, they can be fired.
Well, God forbid you're cruising down the street in your car and a Village People song comes on the radio and you're seen bobbing your head to it. I mean, look out.
He says the police department does not discriminate against homosexuals.
Really?
No.
Huh.
But will not hesitate to fire those who misbehave.
Okay. All right. Well, we wanted to find out what this is all about. Is this the new trend now? No gay sway, I guess, is what they're calling it. So we asked producer Lightning to line up for us Chief Pagdaliawa from the Philippines, who's on the line with us right now. Hey, Chief, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on Kira. Good morning.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Man.
Are we saying your last name correctly?
Do it again. Say it one more time.
Pagdaliawa.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't care. Okay.
I'm good.
Okay, right. Now, are you at a press conference or a party or something?
No, I'm in Town Square in Manila.
Town Square, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't know if you could hear us, sir, when we were describing the story before we brought you on the phone, but are we accurate? Your policy is essentially don't ask, don't tell, and don't look gay, right?
That's right. Homosexuality, crime against God, and I'm God warrior.
You're a God warrior.
No, really?
Yes.
Okay, now, here's the quote, and I just want you to tell me how you're going to make this happen. If they sway their hips while marching, they will be fired.
No swishy like hips.
Okay, but what
That's
if it's
gay?
How do you determine what's swaying and what's not swaying? Like, what if they just walk? There's got to be a fine line there.
Yeah, do you like actually have a measurement as to how much hips can sway from side
I
to
do.
Side?
I have my nightstick and I measure.
That's not a nightstick.
There are many other rules and regulations that officer must meet in Philippines.
Wait a minute, it's not enough that they can't sway while they walk?
No. You have to be macho. You have to be real man. You can't act all wimpy-like, man.
I gotta be honest. You don't sound very macho.
What? I can dunk a basketball, man.
Can you dunk a basketball?
I can dunk a basketball. Right. I'm very manly.
By the way, nobody from the Philippines can dunk a basketball.
What do you mean? I love poontang, man.
Sure you do.
Puffy taco. Herber.
All right, listen,
clam
Chief.
Sandwich.
Okay, we understand. We got it.
So good.
All right, Chief. So you can't sway your hips. You say there are other things that you restrict your officers from doing, otherwise they will be fired.
On duty, you must dress properly.
So what you're about to do is you're about to tell us the list of rules and regulations for the officers.
I think people got it.
Okay. Too much setup, would you say, sir?
I think so.
Okay.
Guys,
all right, Chief. What do you got?
You guys are real pros.
Okay. All right.
You have to dress properly, the officer. Okay. Your shorts have to be below the knee.
Below the knee. Okay.
Your hair short. Uh-huh. No highlight, no earring. Your shirt must be tucked in, and you must wear your nightstick outside of your uniform.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? Know what I mean?
You have people wearing it inside?
Smuggling nightstick, you know? Smuggling the nightstick.
Yeah.
And when you go around on patrol, we listen to what music you listen to. You can listen to family music. You know what I mean? No Barbara Streisand, no Celine Dion, Madonna, Good Charlotte.
Charlotte?
So gay. So gay.
So you're going to check the iPods of your officers?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Do you have a surplus of officers?
No hinder. No Fall Out Boy. He's gay.
What about him? Is him gay?
Yes, kind of gay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And when you go to the bar after long day work, you can only have beer and whiskey. That's it.
Beer or whiskey?
No color cocktails. Colored cocktails. Gay.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. Cosmopolitan or something like that is gay.
Okay.
Well, I got to agree with you there.
Yes. Beer and whiskey, that's breeder food.
Breeder food?
Yes.
Okay.
And when you go get donuts, cops like get donuts.
Sure.
You know, cops, they like the donuts.
Yeah.
No cream-filled donuts.
No cream-filled donuts.
That's gay.
Seems like you're going a little far with these rules.
Yeah, cream-filled donut, you know me?
Yeah, we do.
Cream-filled donut.
Right.
And then when I go out, they say that there's a crime scene. You investigate the crime scene.
Right.
Of course, you can't collect DNA sample with your mouth.
Ew.
What? Well, I would hope not.
No, that's gay.
Well, who does that?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, the mic's on? Oh, I apologize. I didn't realize we were already on.
6:28 on the Kevin and Bean Show at 106.7 KRQ. This is a very difficult story for us to talk about because we've endured people who love farts. We've had the misfortune of working with people like former sports guy Money, Jimmy Kimmel, Adam Carolla, people who really do look at farting as an art. And, you know, it was tough for us to work with him. And that's why we see this story, and it really does hit home with
our
us.
Our former sports guy, Money, I kid you not, we had to come up with rules.
Yes.
Because it's one of those things where, you know how dogs, they have that happy energy, and you could play with them for 8 hours and then go inside to get a drink for 30 seconds. And when you come back to the door, they're excited as if they've never seen you before. That's Money's reaction when he farts. Every time, it is the funniest thing that's ever happened. It never diminishes.
He would burst into the office, into the studio, and go, oh, I just destroyed him in the office.
I just destroyed Dave. So we had these rules. You can't do it in the morning show office, you can do it where Dave is answering the phones. That's fine. So he would go running in there. And man, nothing would make him happier. Oh, yep. I love that.
So what would he say about this poor guy in Scotland who's now been banned from his favorite pub because he farts too much? What about that? I mean, that would make him very upset.
He'd be outraged.
Guy's name is Stuart Laidlaw, and he's 35 years old. He used to go to a pub named Thirsty Kirsty's. He went for 7 years to that pub regularly. Wow. And he says it all started out as a protest against smokers. Because in Europe, you actually have to smoke when starting at age 2. You have to have a cigarette in your mouth.
So he was farting on purpose, in other words? Because he didn't like the smell of the smoke? Okay.
Right, that was his way to get back. He walks into a pub, he doesn't like the smell of the smoke, so he says, all right, I'm going to make some smell of my own. So he starts doing that. Now, recently they have banned smoking in that pub, which surprises me.
Uh-huh.
Because in Europe, you really do, it's a law, you have to smoke.
Yeah.
And by the way, in Europe, they call them fags.
Cigarettes.
Yeah.
Cigarettes, right.
That's funny. Anyway, so Stuart Laidlaw, he apparently, they banned smoking, and then he kept doing it.
Well, I think he couldn't stop.
So it's one of these things where he says, somebody else said, it's disgusting. He revels in this. He does it all the time, and it's absolutely foul. He's one of those guys that just, like we just said, destroys people and laughs their ass off. Yeah. So he did this so much that the patrons were getting upset. And there was an old guy one day who went in and he got his gin and tonic or whatever, and he started getting sick.
Really?
Yeah.
It made him physically ill.
Yes. So he went to the owner of the pub and he said, dude, sick. I'm sorry. I apologize. And they banned the guy for life.
Oh.
They banned him for life. He can't ever come back into the pub because of his loose ass.
I love what the owner of the pub said, who went up to him and explained to the guy, who, as Kevin mentioned, had been going there for years. Stuart, that's the last fart you do in this pub. Get out. Now, look, it's you know, it's part of being human that you know, that gas has got to go somewhere. Most people try to be a little bit more discreet with it, but we are going to take some phone calls from people who have either gotten in trouble for being the farter or have been on the receiving end as the fartee. And Lisa May is a perfect example of somebody who has had to deal with this in her own real life.
Yeah.
Dude, I used to get up and go to the gym at 3 a.m.
Right.
So there's no one in the gym, right? But there was this one girl that was there every time I went and insisted on getting on the treadmill next to me and talking to me the entire time. That was annoying enough. Turns out she's a vegetarian. And, you know, eating a lot of broccoli and peppers and all that kind of stuff, that can really create a lot
of
wind.
Okay.
And she, every day, had the most deadly fart, and she didn't notice.
And the whole place was empty, and she had to stand right next to you.
Right next to me, and just destroyed me. Just killed me. And after a couple months, I was like, I can't go anymore. I cannot do this anymore. I'm done.
Here's the thing. She now brags to her friends, dudes, I ran a girl out of a bar. I mean, out of a workout place. She won't even come to the gym anymore.
Oh, my God.
I made a girl fat. There's a girl that's so fat now because I farted. Look, I know you're the nicest person in the world. You're the girl who can't say no except to me. Why didn't you say anything to her? Why didn't you bring up to her at some point that she was smelling bad?
You know, I got to tell you, for women, I don't know one woman who gets excited about farting.
Right, of course, it's a guy thing.
It's really so embarrassing for us. I mean, we will be in abdominal pain in order not to fart in front of guys,
but
right?
Clearly,
so
it wasn't bothering her.
We don't say anything. I guess, I don't know. I don't think she smelled it.
Really?
I guess. Wouldn't you be embarrassed?
Because I thought whoever smelled it dealt it.
bathroom.
Right? Isn't that
that's
the common?
That's what it says on the money.
Yeah. That's the common wisdom, right? Whoever dealt it, whoever spelt it, dealt it.
It's a really delicate subject. I don't know. Maybe I should.
Look, for me, it's not delicate if I have to quit my gym. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I know.
That's extreme.
And they have stuff you can take, like the Beano and stuff. There's stuff you can take.
We should give that chick an award. That's what I'm saying.
Clearing out the gym.
Yeah.
If you are, if you got a story like Lisa's, or maybe you were the woman who was doing the farting, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Our toll-free number here at KROQ. Let's just take Steve real quick from Chino to get us started, and then we'll come back and hit the rest of these calls. But, Steve, you are you're the deadly farter. Is that what you're telling me?
You know, as my wife and I...
Hell of
a couple. Lucky to find each other.
Yeah.
we were out in Vegas with our neighbors and had one of those buffet breakfasts. And coming down the 15, they had it shut off just before the 210, the 215 splits with the 15.
Right.
And we were in a van sitting in the back, and it was so bad, our neighbor ended up throwing up in one of those big, big cups you get from the casinos.
I just threw up in my mouth.
From the smell?
Yes, because we were stopped, and it was in the summer, and it was just holding the van up, so there's no air blowing through, and there's no windows on the
van. Wow, congratulations. That's strong.
God.
That is rough. That's not rough. That's strong.
Dude. I think my wife is the one that threw the best.
This guy and his wife made
lucky to have her
throw up. You win the prize.
I do.
All right, Steve, good work.
Good to talk to you guys.
Bye now, 1-800-520-1067. This fantastic breakfast conversation continues next.
Do we have to go on with this conversation?
I love this. Because, listen, there are people who try to never, fart in public. Never.
Me. Never.
Probably most women.
Yes.
Then there are guys who don't care. That's probably right. Most people. Excuse me. And then there's... the small group of hardcore farters that find it funnier than anything on this planet, and each one is better than the last.
That was just unpleasant.
Yeah. And our former sports guy Money was one of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Literal battles going on. People would be running up and down the hallway. He'd be chasing people.
Yeah.
We had to ban him from the bathroom that we use that's in that hallway.
We did. You can't
you
use that.
You couldn't go near it.
Sorry. He used his ass as a weapon. He really did. So we're taking a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we talk to a Mike in Hesperia, by the way? Mike sounds like he may be the kind of guy we're talking about with former sports guy Money. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. You are the farter, not the fartee, right?
Yes, I'm the farter.
Now, the thing all that right, started what? This was a dude that got kicked out of a pub. He'd been there for 7 years, and they kicked him out because he was doing it too much. What happened to you?
Well, I'm one of those guys that thinks it's hilarious to fart.
Uh-huh.
And I was in the middle of my class, and I used to fart all the time. And it just got to the point where he actually kicked me out of the class because I used to prop my legs up on the desk. And I used to fart in the middle of class. So he actually got to the point where he just kicked me out of class, and I was no longer allowed to fart.
See, now this is the difference between Mike and just the average farter. The average farter will do it but doesn't want anyone to know, like, exactly who it is. They want the sound, and they want the problem with the smell, but they would like to hide it. Some people, like Mike, bring a lighter and light him on fire in the middle of class.
Exactly.
Now, Mike, if he'd warned you and said, if you keep this up, I'm kicking you out, would you have stopped?
Well, he actually did say that, but I just thought it was even funnier because then you could say, hey, I got kicked out of class because I was farting.
He made the right decision.
And he kicked you out of class?
Yes, he did. He used to kick me out of class.
Fantastic.
Good work, Mike.
Did it go any further than that? Did you ever get suspended?
No, it never got that far.
Oh, it's too bad. All right.
Thanks for the call. Hey, let's talk to Michael in Glendora. He apparently is the fartee, so we'll get the other side of the coin and find out how to deal with somebody who's doing all the farting. Hey, Mike, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Go ahead.
Hey, well, hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Michael.
Kevin Bean. How are you?
We're good. What happened to you?
Hey, well, this is about 20 years ago. I was a production supervisor, and we had a young boy that we hired, and he had the worst gas you can imagine. We had huge industrial fans. The employees gathered up, started pointing the fans at him just to blow the smoke away. I ended up having to deal with this from a human resource perspective.
Right.
Yes.
And ended up terminating him for flatulence.
You fired a guy for farting.
Well, come on. Everybody in the office is suffering.
That's awesome.
It was horrid. You know, we gave him permission to go outside, use the restroom. We didn't care what it
No, no, Michael, you're missing the point, though. Going to the restroom or outdoors does nothing for that guy.
You know what?
I'm telling you, that's the kind of guy that we're talking about is the guy that would consider that a waste. He would run inside to get someone.
No, actually, it wasn't funny to him. It wasn't a joke. He just literally couldn't hold it in.
Oh,
dude,
my God.
What did he say when you explained why you were having to let him go?
He understood. He was disappointed.
Dude, sorry about that, man. Sorry, I didn't mean that. That was...
He needs that carbon underwear or whatever we heard of.
Yes. I have a weak ass. I apologize.
Exactly.
All right, thank you, Michael.
Well, I hope you're proud of yourself for picking on the weak man. Thank you for the call, though.
I wonder if you could sue somebody for firing you for farting.
Is that discrimination? I would think if you make life miserable for everybody else there.
At some point, yeah.
Steve in Thousand Oaks, good morning.
Good morning.
You're a fireman.
I am.
You find it funny.
I do sometimes. I was the fartee, though, not the farter.
Okay, what happened?
Oh, what happened to you?
Well, a friend of mine and I get onto an elevator, and he basically figures he's got me trapped, and he does to some extent.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. The joy of the attack, the smaller the room, an elevator is perfect because they can't go anywhere, and it's a tiny space.
It was completely wrong. So I look at him after the attack occurs, and I said, you know, that must have passed a tumor on the way out because it's really bad.
Oh.
So the funny part, though, for him, actually for both of us, was when we got a couple floors up, the doors open up and about six women want to get onto the elevator with us. So they get in the elevator and the doors close and they start looking around at us, okay, who did this?
Oh, God.
Nice.
It was bad.
And did it hang the whole time?
Oh, God, yeah. It was completely filled the little box we're in, and as they fit in, because now it's tight. There's not a whole lot of room.
Of course.
And they're looking at both of us as, all right, you know, give me a break. Who did this?
The women are popping the top out of the elevator and trying to climb up on top, get some fresh air.
Yeah. I'm sure you were pointing at your friend, and your pal was pointing at you, too, by the way. I'm sure you tried to blame the fart on each other.
No.
You should have. That's what I would do. That would be the way to go. All right, man, thank you for the call. One more. I'm sorry. Hang on.
Kevin.
What did you eat last night?
Come on.
Night? My God.
Hold on.
Let's bring Josh on
just a
from
second.
LA.
Man.
Hang on, Josh. He's not done.
This is a good one.
She's not done?
I said he.
Oh.
Dude, that one had that had volume.
Woo! I just farted my body weight. Josh in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hey, Kevin, Bean, Haley, to me.
Hi, Josh.
I've never heard of this before. You're on a date with a girl at the movies.
Yeah, so there's this horrid, wretched fart that comes, from the back, I guess. And I don't really want to make a good first impression. I'm really nervous.
Ooh, so, did she think it was you?
Well, I would think so in advance. So I started to sniff it all up to try to make sure that she couldn't smell the fart.
Wait a minute.
I was trying to be a gentleman.
Wait a minute, though. Wait, you're telling me that if you sniff enough, you can actually take it out of the air?
Yes, I actually thought that you could sniff an entire fart out of the air.
I don't think it works that way, Josh.
Well, I was trying to be a gentleman for this girl.
Oh my God.
But now I look completely ridiculous, and I actually attract more attention to the fact that there's a fart near her.
Because people just think she loves farts.
So now she's over me, and I'm basically hyperventilating in front of her and trying to smile and make it not seem like
you've seared all the hair out of the inside of your nose.
She's sitting there watching the movie, and he's going in a mad attempt to get it out of the air. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, Josh.
Yeah, that's really retarded. I understand this, but I'm just... Well, she thought it was oddly sweet, so I thought...
Oddly sweet. All right, well, interesting idea. I don't think it works, but you're a good guy.
Nice try.
Thanks a lot.
You know what I have to say to that?
What? What?
I thought I was going to fart.
KRQFM passing to Los Angeles on the Kevin and Bean Show with Chris Cornell coming in tomorrow performing live, doing an interview and also performing live songs from throughout his career. We're talking about doing Temple of the Dog stuff. We're talking about Audioslave stuff, talking about solo stuff.
Soundgarden?
Soundgarden, the whole deal, yeah. And we're letting a limited number of people come in and sit in with us in Chris Cornell for tomorrow. In fact, we're going to give you a chance to earn your way in coming up next right after the news. 1-800-520-1067. If you are a big Chris Cornell fan and you know the music, music that he's done. We want to talk to you coming up after this.
But don't embarrass us, okay? We don't need anybody, you know, getting into any kind of legal trouble here.
Okay.
No criers, too, I think is good policy. And no, you know, if there's ever been a restraining order by Chris Cornell or any of his many wives, we don't want to hear from you either, okay?
That's correct.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
No.
Oh, do we have time?
Yeah, we have
do
a few minutes.
Couple of stories?
Sure.
All right, Rob is on vacation this week. We are filling in with the Showbiz Beat. We promised last hour some highlights from last night's American Idol. Now, we should say for the record that Kevin hates the American Idol.
Yes.
This is Bean, and I love it, as all right-thinking, God-fearing Americans should. Kevin is just wrong on this. He's practically a terrorist by not watching
AI. Well, they sing bad songs, and I can't do karaoke without being drunk. That's my thing.
I understand. I understand your policy. Right. However, this year, there's even somebody in the top 10 for you to root for.
Yes.
Because Sanjaya, ladies and gentlemen, has captured the imagination of Americans. Because he's terrible, and he's in the top 10. And he's probably not even going to be asked to go home tonight, because for some reason, the little girls love him, because he's got the hair and the eyes and the teeth, and the little girls love him.
Yeah, it's not that. I honestly think it's people voting for him because they find it funny.
It's probably both.
I think there's definitely a little bit of that.
Sanjaya was on last night, and Kevin, I don't think you've ever heard him sing, but nope. I'm going to just play just a tiny piece of him doing... Gwen Stefani was the guest judge last night. Not a judge. She was the one who helped the kids, coached the kids
right.
to get them ready for their performance. And last night they were doing, you know, songs that Gwen approved, basically. Songs by The Police and The Cure and bands like that. So here's a little bit of Sanjaya singing Bathwater, the No Doubt hit on last night's American Idol. And you can tell he didn't really have much of a presence on the TV.
Of lovers, a precious collection. You house me, your covers. My sinfulness threatened by my own admission.
It just doesn't really cut through.
No.
Part of it is he just has no confidence because he knows he sucks. He knows it's a joke that he's up there, right?
Here's what I love, too, is that every time you hear a clip of him singing or you watch the show, they always bury his vocals. They always turn the music up so loud you can just barely make out his voice.
They're doing Sanjaya a favor, believe me. The good singers managed to cut through the music that goes on behind him. So last night he was out there and he had a faux hawk. He basically put his hair into, he's got huge hair, and he basically put his hair into 7 ponytails that went from the top of his head all the way around the... It just looked absurd, okay? And you'll love Sanjaya because he's got no talent and no business being there, but he manages to find some attitude when Simon makes a comment about his hair.
Well, I presume there was no mirror in your dressing room tonight.
You're just jealous that you couldn't pull it off.
Sorry?
You're just jealous that you couldn't pull it off.
I couldn't, I agree.
That's what you need on top of no talent is attitude, by the way. That's
ideal.
You're
just jealous because you couldn't pull it off.
There's a picture of him on Drudge Report, by the way.
I can't wait.
With his hair.
Listen, we have to vote this guy in. We have to vote for him because he's bad.
Well, Simon, who has publicly said he will quit if Sanjaya wins the competition, realizes at this point that every week he gets up there and blows, and every week the judges say, you're just not that good, dog, and every week somebody who is good gets asked to leave. So Simon, at this point, has just given up.
Look, Sanjaya, I don't think it matters anymore what we say, actually.
That's why I'm speechless.
No, I genuinely don't. I think you are in your own universe, and if people like you, good luck.
So he's given up, basically. He just says, look, people are going to do what they're going to do. It doesn't matter what I say. I guess. Good luck.
I don't watch the show. I've never voted, but I'm going to vote for Sanjaya just because that's what I need to do.
If he survives tonight, and we'll find out, of course, at 9 o'clock on Fox, if he survives tonight, you'll have the opportunity to call in and vote for him again next week. And let's see how far we can get him up. It wouldn't be the best thing ever if he won.
That would be so great.
And he'd be the first American Idol contestant ever that no one would want to sign.
The MSNBC gossip monger reporter found something on eBay that I think you guys might be interested in. It's a used toothbrush from Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh, you're kidding.
A used toothbrush.
From
is
our hotel
that,
room?
Do you say that because of DNA being available now?
Well, maybe? You would certainly think, although...
All these people who you know, claim that they're the baby daddy are looking for DNA tests. Maybe this is the way to get one.
The seller says her best friend of hers gave it to her after she cleaned the Miami Four Seasons hotel room in 2005 that she was in. So this is a 2-year-old used toothbrush by Anna Nicole Smith.
How long does DNA remain viable?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. But come on. That's a
collection. Anna.
Who's, I mean, really, that she's way down on the list of people that you would want their toothbrush.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Here's a quote that you'll be excited about, Kevin, from your girlfriend, Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
She tells IrelandOnline.com, quote, I will definitely have plastic surgery. I don't want to become an old hag. I think if you're comfortable with yourself, that's sexy. But if you're not, then go for it, end quote, says Scarlett Johansson.
Fantastic.
So she doesn't need it now. I don't think she's going to need it for a while.
A long
but it'll
time.
Be curious to see, you know, when she gets to be like, I don't know, 26. She's going to be one of those people like Nikki Cox on Las Vegas who's going to be unrecognizable a year after she gets the plastic surgery bite.
South Park, best TV show ever. I just want to tell you this is my last story, that tonight Hillary Rodham Clinton stops by. She has a political rally in South Park.
Excellent.
Cartman is afraid that one of the little Muslim kids at school is going to kill her, so he kidnaps him and tortures him.
She can't be pleased with that. I'm sure there's no presidential candidate who's excited about making an appearance on South Park, because I don't think you ever look good.
No, but definitely not. No. But
yeah.
That show rules.
Who's going to be in the studio with us tomorrow to see Chris Cornell? We'll find out. We'll play a brand new game for you coming up next here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Celebrity birthdays to say goodbye to the showbiz beat this hour. Julia Stiles, terrific actress, 26 years old. Actor Vince Vaughn has a birthday today. Country singer and TV superstar Reba McEntire turns 52. And a tremendous Oscar-winning actress, Diane Wiest, is 59 today. And that is the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. Later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, the K-Rock microphones were there yesterday when Lisa went to the doctor. She saw Dr. Matlock and got her, what'd you get, your labia reduced or something?
No, I got a G-shot.
A G-shot, that's what it was, right? And Super Horror Assistant Producer Alex was there with the K-Rock microphone, so we'll be hearing some highlights of the actual operation later on this morning. And Lisa, I understand tomorrow you're going to try out the G-Shot, the new G-Spot G-Shot,
yes,
with Chris Cornell when he comes into the studio. You're going to ask him to break it in for you.
I haven't asked him yet, but if he's willing, I think
you can do worse,
right? As any, right?
What the hell? So he's going to be in our studio tomorrow. He's going to be performing. He has bringing a band fully plugged in.
Yeah.
Our studio might hold four band members, maybe.
It's not big.
With the equipment, might be there. So we've decided to cram more people in there. We're going to give you a chance to come down to the radio station and be in that tiny little studio with Chris Cornell as he performs. And he's going to be doing songs from Soundgarden.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be doing songs from Temple of the Dog and songs from Audioslave and maybe some of his solo stuff. He's got a new solo CD coming out. So that's going to be fantastic. If you're a longtime fan of any of those bands, you're going to want to come down here to the radio station, and we're going to do it with the Los Angeles Ralph Harmonica Orchestra.
And now, Kevin and Bean present the Los Angeles Ralph Harmonic Orchestra.
Did I say harmonica?
I'm afraid so, yes. I don't think that's what you meant. However, Ralph, of course, is on vacation this week, so filling in for the Ralph Harmonic Orchestra, our friend Dave, the King of Mexico, and our own Psycho Mike. Hey, boys.
Nonsense.
Nay, sir.
What?
What? What?
I am the maestro, Cortland Chillingworth.
And I am Sir Melvin Van de Kamp.
I'm sorry. Can I hear King of Mexico again?
I am Sir Melvin Van de Kamp, not the King of Mexico.
Did somebody order Mexican?
So you guys are going to be filling in for the Ralph Harmonic Orchestra, where you're going to help us give away the Chris Cornell passes?
Yes.
Correct.
Dave, why does your British accent sound like Dracula?
That's what I was thinking.
Blah. He's close.
It's already Halloween.
All right, for those of you who have heard the game, you know how to play it. But for those of you that haven't, the Ralph Harmonic Orchestra, or in this case, the Maestro Cortland Chillingworth and Sir Melvin Van de Kamp Orchestra, will be singing the instrumental parts, not the singing parts, not the lyrics, the music part that kicks off the song. So you have to recognize what the song is. It's by one of those three bands Chris Cornell sings in. It's some of their biggest stuff, and you just have to recognize what song they're doing. And then we're going to do a drawing. Lisa, can you keep track?
Sure.
All right.
Let's start with Aaron in Anaheim, then, who is a Chris Cornell fan, looking for the opportunity to come down and be in studio with us tomorrow and Chris Cornell as he performs live. Aaron, I don't know how this is going to go. We have not heard the boys, but you are ready to listen and try to identify the song?
Absolutely. I'm lucky number one.
Okay. All right.
Good luck to you.
Are you prepared, Aaron? Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Bum 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 bum.
I gotta tell you, I'm looking at the answer and I don't recognize that.
That was dead on.
All right, Aaron.
Okay.
Hang on one second, Aaron. What, King?
That was dead on.
Okay, Aaron.
And Mr. Melvin Bandicamp.
What
sir.
Is the title of the song, please?
I am hoping that was Black Hole Sun.
Yes! This is what they were doing.
I could sort of, kind of, if you really give them the benefit of the doubt, believe that that's the song they were trying to do, yes.
Well, I think if Aaron identified that, he's definitely in the running. So Lisa, okay, put his name down. Let's go to Maria in Woodland Hills. Good morning, Maria.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Little early for that.
Are you ready for the maestro, Cortland Chillingsworth and Sir Melvin Vandekamp?
I'm ready.
And here's your song. Good luck.
2, 3, 4. Wow, 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 wow.
All right, I think we've heard enough.
Wow, wow, wow,
maestro. Maestro, think of the children. Please stop. Okay. Yes, Maria, what do you got for us?
Like a stone.
Like a stone,
yes!
Is correct.
Yes.
Wow. Now, that was a good one. That I could recognize. There it is. For those of you that could not tell what they were doing, they were trying to do this. Congratulations, Maria. You're in the drawing. Let's go to Phil in Laverne. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Phil.
You ready for your song?
Yes.
Ralph's on vacation, so we have Maestro Cortland Chillingsworth and Sir Melvin Vandekamp. Gentlemen.
Here we go. 2, 3, 4.
Phil?
It's like a pack of dogs fighting with each other is what it sounds like.
You guys are magic on the mic. Phil, what's that song?
That was horrible.
It was horrible. We can agree on that.
It was horrible.
Perfect.
But you should recognize it.
2 for 2.
2 for 2. Why do you trill 2? All right, Phil, go ahead. What's the song?
Oh, my God.
Come on,
dude.
Phil.
That's kind of an easy one.
Chris Cornell fans out there right now are banging their radios.
It was a perfect rendition, Phil.
He must be a 909er.
I'm dying here. Oh, man.
Gotta have a title of a song.
I can't even.
Next!
He doesn't know.
Yeah. Spoon Man, one of the best ever.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, that song rules.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. So far, Aaron and Maria are in the drawing. Who gets to meet Chris Cornell, be in the studio as he performs tomorrow? Will it be Jose from L.A.? Jose, you ready to hear your song from the Harmonic Orchestra?
Yep.
All right.
Let's do this.
There you go.
2, 3, 4. Boom.
Boom.
Nice.
Very well done.
Again, awful, but recognizable. Jose?
What do you think, Jose?
Go Chief.
Yes!
Beautiful. All right, I think that's about all the time we have for contestants. That gives us Aaron, Maria, and Jose, though. That gives us 3 to choose from. Lisa May is going to do the grand prize drawing. You and a guest join us tomorrow in studio with Chris Cornell as he performs live. Lisa, who's it going to be?
All right. Let's see. It's going to be Aaron from Anaheim.
We got a winner! Nelly.
Aaron, congratulations.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you guys so much.
You're going to be here at K-Rock tomorrow in the studio with Chris Cornell as he performs.
You got it. I can't wait.
Dude, you better be bringing a chick because anyone can get laid after this, all right?
Thank you, maestros.
The pleasure was all
thank
yours.
Thank you, Los Angeles.
Bum, 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 bum. Now, we all have our own interests, and a lot of us have interests that don't interest anyone else.
Well, not you particularly, but other people are very interested in my interests.
Lisa May likes to go to plays.
I love theater.
And she tells us every week. Now, this is Kevin. I've been to a couple of Broadway plays. I thought originally that there were maybe two plays going on at a time in Los Angeles.
Oh,
I mean,
you're so wrong.
I know. Kevin, have
you ever been to a play in L.A.? I know you go to Broadway when we're in New York each year, but have you ever gone to a play here?
I think I did once with somebody came in from out of town and I went once.
Yeah, but that sounds like about most of us.
Right. You go out of town because it's not, when you sit around and go, hey, what do you want to do? I don't know what you want to do. Play doesn't come up in my vocabulary. It just doesn't happen.
Well, wow. Here's what I say. This is what I've been telling Lisa for years. Once they invented a way to film stuff and put it on television, there's really no reason to go see it in person. I don't have to now drive down to where the actors are actually doing it. I can just wait for it to show up on TV and watch it there.
You guys miss the magic of live theater. It is give and take between the audience and the actors. It is a living, breathing thing, and it's different every night, and it's fabulous.
In my experience, it's napping by the audience.
it's you napping.
And whatever they're doing on stage. So I thought, since Lisa is the one who appreciates that whole world, and we basically slap her down at every opportunity.
I know. I come in and try to tell you about some great stuff, and I can't even get three words out.
We don't want to hear about your plays. We don't care. We're not interested. It's not our thing. Keep it to yourself. Glad you're happy. Don't care about the plays. But we did get an email that we want to bring up, and this is Maddie. Good morning, Maddie.
Hi.
Hi, Maddie.
You are, 13?
I'm 14.
14, okay.
Okay.
Hey, Lisa, I know you like plays, and I wanted to tell you some that are coming up, plays, shows that are part of the Huntington Beach High School. So she's inviting you now to high school / middle school plays.
Wow. If I start going to the high school and middle school plays, I really am going to be busy.
Yes.
Well, there may be in your schedule right now, Lisa, there may be one or two nights a week that you don't already have a professional play to go to. This gives you the opportunity to fill in those holes in your schedule.
Now, Maddie, you go to Springview Middle School in Huntington Beach?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're a member of the arts department. You're in the play.
Yeah, I'm in the play at Springview, and I tried out for APA at Huntington Beach High, and I got in for next year.
Wow.
Oh.
And APA is a performing arts school, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a public school, and there's normal kids, and then, like,
the APA
kids go with the other kids, but after school there's an APA program.
So there's normal kids, as you put it, and then you would be one of the defective kids who would be going to act.
No, one of the really talented kids.
Yeah, that's what I meant. This city, there are a lot of people that are going to act.
Who will never make a living out of it.
So, Maddie, what play are you in right now?
I'm in Bugsy Malone at Springview Middle School.
Bugsy Malone.
Oh, I've never seen Bugsy Malone.
Wow.
Is it a musical?
It's a musical, yeah.
So you sing?
What?
You sing?
Yes.
Maddie, this is a play that's based on the guy, Bugsy Malone, who was part of founding Las Vegas, that the movie Bugsy was made about?
Oh, no, it's 1920s musical, and it's about this guy in New York, and it's about all the 1920s, the Grand Slam, and everything like that. The
different Bugsy. Different Bugsy. Okay, I got you.
Well, that's dumb. Right? I mean, not you, Maddie. Not you. I'm saying...
It should be about the guy who started to build
Las Vegas.
Murdered brutally.
Yeah. Whatever Bugsy that was. I want to see Maddie with an AK. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, exactly. I do, too. So, the play is going on right now?
No, it's May 17th and 18th.
May 17th and
18th. Lisa's there.
Who comes to these plays besides family members of the actors and actresses in the show?
Usually just the superintendent.
Nobody. Yeah. Nobody. It's basically parents. It's basically the kid, you know, their kid is in the play, so they go watch it.
And maybe they make some friends.
And Lisa May.
And your parents hate it when they have to come see you in a show, Maddie. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Listen, they love you, I'm sure.
Yeah, but they're just miserable, though.
But plays blow.
Plays do not blow. I will go see Maddie.
Well, let's wait a second. You might be being a little too quick here. Maddie, you sing a song?
Well, I'm in with the other Grand Slam girls, but we all sing a song together.
And what song would that be?
Fat Sam's Grand Slam.
And how would that go?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who is anybody will soon walk through that door at Fat Sam's Grand Slam. Speak easy.
She can sing.
Not bad.
Yeah. Okay, but you're still 14, though, right?
Yeah.
All right! Oh! Okay,
so May 17th and 18th, where's the play going to be?
At Springview Middle School in Huntington Beach.
Oh, so close.
She's there.
I know.
So convenient for Lisa, who lives in the valley.
Yeah.
I'll drive
2 hours.
Give me just a tiny more of that song. Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Just a little.
I'm so nervous right now, I can't even remember.
I know, but it's okay. Just,
you're doing great.
You're doing great.
Act like you're on stage, you ignore the audience, you're into your role. Let's hear it.
Okay. At Fat Sam's Grand Slam, speak easy. always able to find you a table. There's room for just one more at Fat Sam's Grand Slam Speakeasy.
Paula, what did you think?
Just watching you, I feel what you're just feeling so much joy, and it's exciting. I feel I'm one big goosebump, okay. And I just am so excited for you because look at you.
Paula.
I mean, this is it for you. This is it for you. You're so good.
Maddie, you're already so much better than freaking Sanjaya. You know that? I mean, seriously. All right. So, Lisa, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to do my best. I have to say I'm impressed with Maddie. She can sing. That's pretty cool. And I love the end of her email, which is, peace out, babe.
Peace out, babe. I'd like to say that Lisa's going to be there, Maddie.
And she's got some balls some emailing hooks. Me. Yeah,
exactly.
Have to say.
All right. Well, Maddie, you got yourself one extra person besides your mom and dad.
Cool.
Congratulations.
Don't be bad.
All right, promise.
All right, thank you, Maddie. Good luck to you, all right?
Bye now.
Time for the Kevin and Bean Afro line. It's an answering machine we have for your entertainment at 323-520-AFRO. Actually, it's really more for our entertainment now that I think about it.
Sure.
I tried to call many times when I was on vacation last week driving through Kansas as I would come across, you know, the world's largest, ball of twine or something like that. I want to call and share it with you, the fine Carrick listeners. And then I found out that somehow you've rigged the Afro line so my calls are blocked. I can't get through. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we don't need you calling the
Afro
line.
I don't think your voice sticks when you call in with that kind of information.
This is really more for listeners than it is for you torturing us.
Yes.
I just thought I'd like to share some of my vacation stuff. But not so much. Okay, so let's see who else has been calling. 323-520-AFRO. Again, you can call anytime on any topic.
Yesterday we did the story about the blogger, the American Idol blogger. Who is on hunger strike until Sanjaya gets thrown off. Hunger strike. That's how strong she feels about it. I mean, that's what this first call's about.
Kill the blogger. Vote for Sanjaya. Whatever. Just kill the blogger.
By the way, if you've seen Sanjaya, as girlish as he is, Sanjaya is even closer to reality.
I think that's what we go with from now on. Sanjaya. Yeah. Vote for Sanjaya to make sure that they stay on and the blogger dies. Omar has a very unnatural hatred of somebody. I don't like her, but he explodes every time he had a Wheat Thins box that he cut her face out of because the store wouldn't take him back.
That seems extreme.
She's one of those cooking show people, Rachel Ray.
Mm. Rachel Ray sucks. She's ugly. Her guests are ugly. Her TV show is ugly. She sucks.
I had to watch a little bit of Rachel yesterday because Barry Manilow was on as a guest, and it was tough to just look at his side of the screen.
Add that to the list of the gayest things ever said.
I'm just saying.
Mark that, please. I want that. All right. Ralph's on vacation this week.
I can't wait for Ralph to get back from his vacation so I can see his slideshow. Oh, wait. He won't have one because he's not gay.
Oh.
Bean slideshow like didn't exactly set the masses on fire.
Oh, there's Bean at the world's largest sausage. Oh, there's Bean trying to swallow the world's largest sausage.
When did slideshows go so horribly out of fashion, by the way?
40 years ago.
It's time to bring them back.
No, you and Al Gore are the only two people. At least Al's talking about the Earth, something anyone cares about. Freaking Kansas.
Dude, I went to the Greyhound Museum, all right? A museum dedicated to dogs that run. How can you not want to see pictures from that?
There's no answer
don't
to
even
that.
Start.
He was also complaining about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Bean has strange tastes. He has always wanted to be the Postmaster General. I've never met anyone else in the world that their dream was to work for the post office, but that is Bean.
I'll bet if it was called Teenage Mutant Ninja Postmaster, Bean would watch it.
Absolutely. Hell yeah.
That's true. There is somebody, however, who does agree with Bean on that particular movie.
Motherfucking teenage goddamn son of a bitch and mutant motherfucking sucking ninja dipshit turtles is the number one movie? Are you people goddamn insane? You're all going to fucking die. You're a bunch of retards. How in the get a fucking movie about turtles be number one? This is bullshit.
Exactly.
That's what we're saying.
Vice President of Sales.
What's coming up next hour in the Kevin and Bean Show? Anything worth sticking around for?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Right after the top of the hour, we're going to talk about Lisa's G-shot.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Fantastic. Yeah, she had the labia reduced yesterday at Dr. Matlock's office.
No, that's not it. She's going to sue you if that's not true.
I really am.
And Rodney's dead. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz beat. Ralph is on vacation this week. We are filling in, taking a look at Hollywood. There's a late-breaking story that TMZ has up on their website, TMZ.com, this morning. It was actually broken by Life and Style magazine. A credible plot, they say, was meticulously planned by a gang to kidnap Angelina Jolie's new baby boy, Pax, that she just picked up from Vietnam.
Yeah.
Kidnap Pax and demand $100 million for his return.
Oh, what's wrong with people?
And they say they have credible evidence that this was a legitimate plot from an organization that has kidnapped and extorted in the past.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
$100 million. They're highly skilled operatives with little regard for human life, says an insider close to Brad and Angelina's security team. You know, I can't imagine, and I'm just guessing here, Angelina, I mean, she can get a kid for like a grand at any country in the world. Like, is she really going to pay $100 million to get this guy back that she's had for like a week?
Well, she might get a little attached. It happens.
Yeah, sure, you get attached, but look, she gets a new kid every 4 months. She can't even keep all their names straight. Tell me she wouldn't just say, all right, that one's gone. I'll go off and get another one, right?
Aww, by the way, did you say $100 million?
$100 million.
She doesn't have that, does she?
I don't think so.
You might as well say a billion. What are they doing? $1 trillion. That's what we want.
I think she would be able to get $100 billion though, if she wanted to. I think she has connections. She has leverage. I think she'd be able to. I mean, they own a bunch of homes and stuff like that. By the way, you know they bought that place. Brad and Angelina bought one of their many houses around the world. They have that place, and we've all seen photos of it, in New Orleans. And it was so surprising to so many people that they bought this house not in a ritzy, gated neighborhood. I mean, it's really just on the street. You and I can essentially walk up to it. But apparently they have invested over $500,000 in security measures for that home in New Orleans alone.
And none too soon.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm sure they have similar arrangements around the country. But how about that? A plot to kidnap this kid right as he gets to America.
Wow.
Man, oh, man. That's people it's never evil. Seem to surprise you, do they?
Yeah.
Yesterday there was a lot of talk about Michael Jackson and how he might do that show in Vegas he's been talking about.
Yes.
A lot of these entertainers, they love to do Vegas because they don't have to travel and there's guaranteed sellouts pretty much everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been talking about this for a long time. Yesterday they were floating around the idea that if he indeed does sign a deal in Vegas, that part of the deal is a 50-foot-tall robot that looks like Michael Jackson. And it wanders around Las Vegas shooting laser beams.
Great.
I guess that's to advertise his show.
Okay.
A 50-foot-tall Michael Jackson.
Nothing going to go wrong with that.
No.
Now, what was the video where he made that statue, remember? And then, I mean, they actually made a real-life huge statue of him that they floated down the Thames in London. And he's all about turning himself into an icon.
Into bigger than life, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine a 50-foot-tall Michael Jackson wandering around Las Vegas shooting laser beams?
That's fantastic.
Like every other kid's going to go, ah. He touched me.
It's not the truth.
No.
It's garbage.
Well, we'll find out, I guess. Hey, summertime is almost upon us. We are officially into the first week of spring now, and that means the concert tours are being rolled out. There's a lot to look forward to this summer. Psycho Mike, I know you're excited. Your boys in Slayer are going back on the road.
Yes, I am, Bean.
Where the hell is Psycho Mike?
Wow, I'm very excited about that, especially their penises.
Slayer is doing some dates in Europe. North American dates kick off on the East Coast on July 25th. I thought this was interesting. To me, it's not much of a mix, but Marilyn Manson is going to be on the bill with Slayer. And to me, those are two different kinds of rock fans.
Yeah.
The Marilyn Manson kind and the Slayer kind, I can't imagine they're going to get along together out there on the road.
Although I did see Marilyn Manson at a tiny club in New York, and he picked up his mic stand and threw it. And the big, heavy, round bass of the mic hit his drummer in the head.
Yes.
And he was bleeding, and they dragged him out on stage. And we all thought it was part of a show. We were like, woo! Nice. Yeah, look at that. Look at those special effects. Good work. The guy was bleeding out.
Oh, my God.
Took him off, canceled the show.
Wow.
Well, if he can pull some of that off, the Slayer fans will love that. Marilyn Manson's new album is called Eat Me, Drink Me. It's going to be in stores in June. Another tour that a lot of people are looking forward to is the Family Values Tour back on the road this summer. We had Korn, of course. We did Unplugged with Korn a couple of weeks ago, and we found out that they're going out again, headlining with Evanescence in support. Also added to the bill so far announced, the Treyu, Flyleaf, Hell Yeah, and Trivium. And this is worth mentioning, too. If you're, every time you turn around, tickets are $60, $80, $100 to go see a show. $9.99 for the lawn seats for every outdoor show on the tour this year.
Wow.
$9.99. So that's under $10 for family values is a great deal. And finally, the biggest show of the summer, biggest show of the year, is going to be this Live Earth concert. This is to raise environmental awareness. July 7th. London and Philadelphia are two of the five cities in which the concerts are going to be held. The Police are scheduled to appear in Philadelphia. Spinal Tap reunion is in the works, apparently. Wembley Stadium in Britain. The Rolling Stones will be there. The Red Hot Chili Peppers, Metallica, Block Party, James Blunt, and so much more. Five continents on July 7th, 2007.
I'm sorry, did you say Metallica and James Blunt in the same sentence?
On the same bill. Is that awesome?
Wow, that's just not right.
James Blunt, just one P.S., by the way. They have confirmed that James Blunt and Petra Nemkova, my favorite supermodel, are split. They have confirmed that they are no longer together, and I couldn't be more pleased about that.
No way should that guy be with her.
She is so unbelievably hot, and he is such an unbelievable dork. It was driving me crazy. I've lost sleep over the fact that relationship is together.
King of Mexico says Blunt already hooked up with Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, no.
That's what he said.
Well, that's easy.
Just because he sings that You're Beautiful song, he can nail anyone he wants.
He's killing people, too, dude.
You say that he was in Special Forces in Britain. No way.
That's legit.
No way.
He's killed people.
No way.
I have heard that also. I have heard that that is his background.
Yeah, you also heard that Mr. Rogers was sleeved, but that's not true either. All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Vince Vaughn celebrates today. One of the best. I don't know what he's got coming up next. I know he's going to be in that Fred Santa movie coming out at Christmas time, which looks fantastic already. But he's been in everything. Wedding Crashers, Dodgeball. He's just the best. Happy birthday, Vince. Also, actress Julia Stiles celebrating a birthday today. She's only 26. And Lisa, your pal from the Reba TV show. I don't know if you guys still get together for the reunions now that that show's off the air.
Oh, we email each other all the time. Yeah,
but,
we're good.
Reba is 52 and still the only person in the world named Reba, which I think is really interesting. And that is the character of his beat.
Reba Jackson.
I think that's Reba.
Oh, it's funny. I had a dream last night and I woke up in a sweat. I was like, man, I thought we played Chevelle.
No, that's that's crazy, man. You got to lay off the sauce before
that's
you go to bed. That's
I
always
had that same dream.
Did you?
I thought we were playing Good Charlotte on K-Rock.
Yeah,
it freaked me out.
It's 8:12 on the Kevin and Bean Show. I love all the songs we play on K-Rock. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. But listen, tomorrow at this time, Chris Cornell joins us in studio here on the World Famous K-Rock. We're going to be interviewing him. We're going to talk about, didn't the last time we talked to him, Kevin, didn't you say, hey, what's this I hear about Audioslave breaking up? And he said, no, things are fine.
Be together forever, yeah. Yeah, he did.
We'll talk about that and find out what his plans are for the soul. Unless he breaks up with himself. He's already broken up Soundgarden and Audioslave. Unless he can figure out a way to break up Chris Cornell, we'll talk to him about his solo career. But that's tomorrow morning right here.
And here's the cool thing. He's going to be playing and singing music from Soundgarden and Audioslave and Temple of the Dog. He's going to be doing all of it.
It's awesome.
It's going to be great.
Fantastic.
His own personal jukebox.
So,
I love that dude.
Super Whore Alex is in here, our assistant producer.
Ciao.
And yesterday was the day.
Greatest day ever.
Lisa May.
It was
got
G-Day.
The G spot.
It was G-Day. A pooter party. It was so much fun.
So you go to a doctor's office. He gives you a G shot, which is a shot in your G spot.
Well, not just one.
Not just one. Lisa turns out is really special. And men have a soft spot for her vajayjay. So she got a double shot.
Hey, just hold on one second.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain...
The following program contains adult language and...
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion...
Due to some graphic and mature content, parental discretion is...
Now, we do want to warn you that some of the language in this story...
The following is rated MALV.
Okay, that's all I have time for.
All right.
So it's fun for everyone? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
So you go to the doctor's office, super whore, our assistant producer Alex, brings a tape recorder.
God bless
her.
God bless.
K-Rock microphones were there.
Yeah.
And tell us about Lisa signing away her life.
Well, Lisa, I get there early because I'm just really excited. It's like Christmas. And Lisa comes in kind of nervous, and she's holding a stack of papers, I'm not kidding you, like 20 pages deep, single space, 10-point type of everything that could possibly happen at some point on planet Earth to her or around her vagina
because of this, and I'm signing away that you know it's not their fault.
Things not
if
even
I die
connected to that area of the body might happen.
Well, you in the doctor's defense, and I know you fought very much, Dr. Matlock. He did a great job, but you also refinanced your home at the same time with the paperwork, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So here's Alex with the K-Rock microphones.
It's Agent Alex here for the Kevin and Bean Show with Lisa May. We're here for her Punani party. And she is now basically signing her vagina away.
Now, I didn't know that that was part of it. You actually have to sign it away.
Oh, yeah.
So is it now
it's
someone
not really
else's?
Mine. I'm renting it.
It's now someone else's?
Yeah, I pay monthly fees.
Wow.
Yeah.
That kind of sucks.
It's disturbing, isn't it?
So Alex wants to know what's going on inside Lisa's head.
Are you nervous?
I'm kind of excited.
We tried to get an exclusive interview with Lisa's vagina earlier, but she's not talking to the press right now.
Kind of talks like this.
Can we hear Lisa do your vagina again?
You have to see the hand. It goes like this.
Are you?
What were you guys drinking when you went in there yesterday?
Okay, you have
That's
to understand.
How it sounds.
Were you drunk?
No, they cordoned us off
right.
for like, oh, we're not kidding you, an hour and a half by ourselves.
Yes.
With the worst magazines ever for women to read.
Right. Yeah, they had men's magazines, like golf.
Like, come on, people. I don't care about bicycling monthly.
So we were getting a little crazy.
So yeah. Now it's getting good. They go into the room.
Okay.
And Lisa undresses.
So now Lisa and I are in the examination room, and it's kind of cold.
Yes, and I have nothing on from the waist down.
She shaved for the doctor.
I shaved everything for the doctor.
Good job. Yeah, Lisa was like a slip and slide.
Like nothing.
Legs, everything up to the belly button.
Yeah, and it was a teeny tiny little piece of like paper thin, saddest excuse for a robe. It was like a lobster bib.
It really was.
Basically, she had a bib. That was it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So now we bring in Dr. Matlock, and he starts talking about the shot that she's going to get.
So Dr. Matlock has just arrived, and he's here to tell us about Lisa's double shot. We just found out she's getting a double shot G-shot, like a Starbucks order, right?
Right. That's absolutely correct. Now, this is the first time I'm going to do this.
Oh, my God.
I hope you use this wisely. That's all I have to tell you.
Well, I plan to use it a lot, if that's what
you're saying. That's good. No, that's fine.
That's what we're talking about.
Well, all right, Dr. Matlock, first of all, I think Lisa May and I have a crush on him.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say he is black, so I'd like to get him for the black cock.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you're looking for somebody.
You know, this guy knows what he is doing.
He's so excited. He loves vagina more than any man I've ever met in my life.
Vagina.
He is the best.
He's black?
Yes, Mike.
So, sounds like Woody Allen.
So, here he continues talking about the shot.
The G-spot is an area that undergoes intense sexual arousal, all right, intense gratification. It swells up. Okay, it swells up. So what I'm going to do when we inject this, so after you do that, you resume sexual intercourse in 4 hours. Some people say that, someone say, oh, how quick can I resume sexual intercourse? I said, look, just wait till you get out of the office.
She's got somebody lined up in the waiting room, so she's ready to go.
All right.
4 hours?
Four hours, and I don't know if Lisa knows it, but I added up the cost of the double shot. She basically has a vajayjay that's now worth over $4,000.
I'm
not kidding you.
Dude, yeah. Wow.
It was golden before. Yeah, so she's going to need a relief pitcher and a backup quarterback because she's going to wear out her dudes.
I'm going to need a bodyguard because you might want to kidnap it.
Well, with great power comes great responsibility also, Lisa. You now have to be a little bit more selective about where you use it since it's so valuable.
No, I think I have to go the other way.
No, I think it's like your good jewelry.
You share it with the world.
Yeah, you
really have to. It's your responsibility to share with the world.
It doesn't last forever, right?
Exactly. Okay. So then, apparently, Lisa has to do a little recon of her own.
We're going to leave Lisa to find her G-spot right now.
This was so funny.
This was really bizarre. The doctor, and I guess there are a lot of women who don't know where their G-spot is.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor asked the women to find it first. Then we come back and I was like, seriously, Doc, Lisa knows where it is.
That's
like,
what I said. I said, you guys don't have to go.
Big deal.
Find it first.
But I think part of it was that you're supposed to stimulate it a little bit so that it swells up just a little bit.
Yes.
It probably makes it easier for him
Wait a minute. So this guy says, hey, play with yourself. I'll be right back.
Basically.
What a doctor.
So he and I are in the hallway, and this is uncomfortable because I know exactly what Lisa's, she's diddling herself right now.
I'm in.
So then we come back in, and this is when he starts to measure her.
And I have some bad news. The tape ran out.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
The
tape ran out.
I will describe it for you. My powers of description.
Literally, there was nothing taped after Lisa was finding it.
She did a whole color
commentary. But, dude, it's seared into my memory.
I was ready, too. I was ready.
I know.
I think, next to Psycho Mike and the act that dare not speak its name, Lisa is now the second member of the morning show I'm not closest to.
Is that right?
Because, me and the vagina are tight now.
She held my hand while it was happening.
So needle?
Three.
Three needles.
Here's the sequence. So the doctor comes back in the room and Lisa's like, here's my G-spot. And he measures her first with his lots of KY jelly. He had like a Costco tube. I'm not
kidding. What is happening here?
KY jelly. Loops up his hands.
and, you know, shoves it in the cave.
And a warning here. We're dealing with a sensitive subject, which is not suitable.
We're about to discuss an issue that may not be suitable for children. In fact, it probably is not.
Due to mature adult content, parental discretion.
This program contains images which may be disturbing to younger or sensitive. The American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this program.
All right, so we're in a hurry, but you get the idea.
Okay, so he finds her G-spot. He, you know, pulls out a speculum, which for fellas who don't know, is like
not a speculum.
The duck-billed object that basically cranks her open like a tire jack.
Okay, I don't know that we need this much detail.
A lot of people don't know what that is.
All right, so go ahead.
So he's cranking her open.
Okay, but people aren't learning how to do the surgery on their own from this description. You don't need to tell them everything about it.
You're not training them to give the shot.
The first shot is this really, really long, thin needle.
Did it hurt?
Can't really see it.
I didn't feel a thing.
And I
didn't feel a thing.
It looked like a long acupuncture needle, and I was kind of lying to her how long it was.
Yeah, she didn't tell me. And then I looked at afterwards, and I thought, oh, my God.
So he injects her with the shot, and then she's fine. Then she's letting go of my hand. She's talking to the nurse. Like her stirrups aren't, you know, like her feet aren't in stirrups, and her face or her vagina isn't 2 feet from this guy's face. Like, good kick.
Hey, everybody, how's it going? And I guess it works really fast.
So then
usually when you get dental work done, you know, it takes a while.
Sure, of course.
He came right back in.
He then has these two huge vials of collagen with, again, a long, thin needle. And he puts the first one in, and he's very excited.
And that
Lisa
doesn't hurt either?
He's talking to me like, no problem.
Didn't feel a
nothing
thing.
Going on. So then he puts the second shot in. And this happens. His eyes become huge, like the runaway bride. I'm not kidding.
The doctor?
Scary, yes. And he starts saying this. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And now I am scared.
No, he didn't.
No,
yes, he shouldn't.
It is not a good... It's, yeah. It was a good oh my god.
I'm thinking, did I explode?
Right.
It was so a scary
Lisa
oh my god.
He's looking at me like, what's going on with my vagina? And I'm thinking,
and you think,
oh no,
the baby's crowning? What's happening here?
So, I look at Dr. Malik, I go, is everything okay? And he goes, it's just, it's so big. I've never seen one get this big before.
Really?
Okay. The collagen, he put so much in, it kept coming back out.
Yeah, he couldn't put any more in, so he went over to the other side and put some more
in
there.
He ended up giving her 2.5 vials. He's never done this to anyone. Lisa
which
is
the more
only
than
person,
a double.
He's the only doctor who does this. She's the only woman in the United States of America to have this in her
She's
G-spot.
Got her both hands up in the victory sign.
I want a doctor to look that scared.
Nor
in
do
two
you
legs.
Nor your do you G-spot is full, is what you're basically telling
Here's
us.
Here's what I'm telling you. This morning I explored the area just a bit, and usually you have to go in and up to find it. There's no
we,
up. It's
we
right
really
there.
Need details.
Lisa has like
it's
a huge
right
target
there.
Now.
Like
for a penis.
Getting something in there might be tricky.
Do you have a penis? Is that what you're saying?
No,
she's bigger than Psycho Mike at this point.
It's it's almost closed off because the G-spot's so big now.
Lightning this morning looked at me and was like, can she walk? And he was serious.
And yes, you're going to try it out when?
Tomorrow
morning with Chris Cornell, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, depends. Chris is up for
it. It was successful. I'd say Operation Pit My Punani was good.
Was good.
I was
good.
Very
it sounds
happy.
Fantastic. You should see the smile on Lisa's face.
Why not? Now, life is going to be so good from here on out.
I have Gina envy. I don't...
Since Alex was there for the operation, she should be there when it's unveiled, too. I mean, she should
with
be there
the
to
microphones,
find out,
of course.
With the microphone to find out how it feels, right?
Of course, tomorrow night.
You know, the microphone also may choose to not work at that time as well. Because, you know, I may be helping her with the batteries.
Yeah, Alex
it
will come, right? I mean, Alex will go
really? How about
with
that?
Me and
okay.
all. But, gee, I don't know if it's actually going to work.
Yeah, you two are bad. They're recording. Come on.
Yeah,
come on.
Know.
Throw us a bone.
Woohoo! Throw me more stuff to do.
Throw you a huge bone.
That's what she said.
I love vaginas.
First, it's time for Bean is Accident Prone.
Bean is Accident Prone Guy. Bean is Accident Prone Guy. Bean is Accident Prone Guy. Get out of his way.
Come on. Now, I don't know what it takes to be accident prone. I don't know that there's a line that you can cross. You got to get hurt so many times or whatever. But Bean has been hurt in so many different weird ways that most of us have never even experienced in our entire lives.
I can't remember the last time I got hurt.
And he will not admit that he's accident prone. So I'm going to go.
I absolutely am not accident prone.
I'm going to go through a list of things that have happened to Bean since we started this show in the 90s.
Okay.
And then we're going to take calls from people at 1-800-520-1067 who are accident prone.
Okay.
And I'd like somebody to weigh in on whether you think Bean is accident prone or not. Because
I'm going to guarantee that we could take calls all day long from people who have been hurt much more often and much more seriously than I have, to the point where I wouldn't even rate as even being in the running for accident prone.
We were in Bermuda, and he lost control of his moped and slid against a cement wall and scraped off half of his body. One of the funniest things I've ever seen. Because he got up next to the wall, and then he couldn't. He freaked, and he started giving it more gas.
Mm-hmm.
So he started going faster and faster, and he couldn't pull himself away. That was awesome.
That seems like a bad accident.
Same trip, if I'm not mistaken, on the moped, turning left in front of a truck, got hit by the truck, flew over the truck, and when I saw him at the airport the next day, he'd gone to the hospital, he had both knees wrapped, I think he broke a foot, and he had his shoulder wrapped.
Oh my God, Bean.
I did break a foot. You know, that was a truck that ran a stop sign, by the way. That wasn't anything that I was doing. He ran a stop sign and knocked me down off the moped. I was a bad moped driver anyway, but yeah, I did break my foot. That was, by the way, for the record, the only bone I've ever broken as an adult, and the last bone I broke, and it was in 1991. So I don't know how that makes me accident prone to have broken a foot in an accident that wasn't my fault 16 years ago, but all right.
It doesn't by itself. Everything else put together does. In our old studios in Burbank, we had a low-hanging speakers that all of us learned to avoid because they have very, very sharp corners on them, very hard, sharp corners.
Uh-huh.
At least once every 2 weeks. Bean 6'6", he would hit the corner of that speaker so hard that everybody in the building would go, what was that? And I mean, you could see the look on his face was like, oh my God, that hurts. Every other week, probably.
I will tell you, I do have more things to dodge at my height than people say Lightning's height, who never has to worry about hitting a speaker, would ever have to worry about. I definitely have hit my head a fair amount from being tall in my life. That's true. Because, you know, you get onto an airplane or you go down a staircase or something like that. It's something that most people don't even have to think about.
Right.
But it's set up for me to hit it.
No, that's true. But most people would learn from the experience and realize maybe keep an eye out because you hit your head a lot.
Yeah, especially for speakers that don't move.
He was sitting on an office chair and he put his fingers in the springs and then he rolled on top of them and almost cut his fingers off.
Oh, Bean.
Screamed at the top of his ears.
That one did.
Top of his ears? Do you scream at the top of your ears?
No.
you all remember the tear duct tube that came out of his eye.
Oh, God, remember that. Forget.
We were having a St. Paddy's Day remote, and he almost had his scalp removed by a ceiling fan. Remember that?
No.
Oh, that was good times.
I do remember almost walking into a ceiling fan at our old boss, Mr. TV's house one time.
That's
he had a low-hanging ceiling fan. I did almost get decapitated that day. But again, that's a victim. I was a victim of being as tall as I am, and you just, around every corner, there's something there to knock your head off.
Right. It's a victim of being as tall as you are and not realizing it and watching out.
There's some lack of paying attention going on.
I dodge 99.999999% of the things that are put in front of my head to hit.
While in Norway, he drove onto train tracks and came 2 inches from a head-on with a train.
Yeah, I was pretty close. That was a near-death experience.
He drove out of his garage one time, and the garage door shut on top of his car, and it went from his hood to his trunk. It scraped his car as he backed out.
That did happen. But in my defense, I'd had the car for almost 3 months.
We were in Florida. We were in Miami for the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I kid you not, we both had tickets for the Super Bowl. Bean was putting on his pants and hurt his back so bad he had to go to the hospital.
Oh, God.
And I went to the hospital with him, and then it was about game time. I said, I'm in Florida. It's the Super Bowl. Give me your ticket. And I took his ticket, and I went out, and I scalped it to give it to him so he could help pay for the hospital or whatever.
Well, that was nice.
But he spent the time during the Super Bowl in the hospital because he was putting on his pants.
I think that's the last time I had to go to the emergency room. That was also around 1990, 1991. You know what it's like when you got a bad back, though? You can just stand up, and your back can go out. You know what that's like.
CD signing, he got stuck in the rear sliding window of Big Tad's truck.
Never forget that.
He was trying to reach through. There was a long line of people. He was trying to reach through to get keys or something and phone or something. And he got stuck in the back window of the truck. And literally, to get him out while everyone was waiting and waiting and waiting, we had to take the entire window out. So now Bean's standing up in the back of the truck with a window around him.
That was funny.
That was funny.
We were broadcasting one time, and he leaned back, fell off the stage, and just about burned himself up in a hot stage light. That happened.
Oh, I remember that.
You guys remember his slave, Marty? He drove his friend's truck into a wall in his driveway.
His brand new truck.
And 2 days ago, he drove his Toyota Prius into that same wall and broke his toe. I mean, listen, I don't...
Hey, what about when he walked down the stairs at his own home and knocked his head?
Hit his head.
On something that was hanging down and almost...
staircase.
You actually passed out, didn't you?
I did. I was knocked unconscious. That's true.
I don't have a list like this that's anywhere near
Nope.
Anywhere near that. What does it take to consider yourself accident prone?
Because I'm so healthy and almost never get hurt. And as I pointed out, you know, you break one bone as an adult 16 years ago. That, to me, is a pretty good track record.
Yes, it is, if that's all you're looking at. But if you're looking at all of these weird ways to hurt yourself.
And being healthy has nothing to do with being accident prone.
It's just like the OJ trial, Bean. You know what happened? The OJ trial, there was a mountain of evidence. But what happened is the lawyers focused in on one thing so close that everybody lost track of the whole mountain of evidence against. That's the same thing. When you take this all as one picture, you see accident prone.
I'm going to say we're going to open up the phone lines and take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. And you're going to find out there are a lot of people out there who are
also
a lot worse. A lot worse than I do, to the point where I don't even count as accident prone.
I know that's your theory, and we'll test it out. 1-800-520-1067. And then we need you to rule on whether Bean is accident prone or not. I'm trying to convince Bean that he's accident prone because things happen to him that don't happen to normal people.
Oh, yeah.
And you will not
have it. I can't imagine having that many things happen to me. I've had nothing happen to me in the last 10 years.
So we're taking some calls from people who really are accident prone at 1-800-520-1067 because I have no idea what that would be like. So I'm curious.
Sure,
so that's
why
I want to find
out.
Bean is accident prone guy. Bean is accident prone guy. Bean is accident prone guy. Get out of his way.
Let's start with Johnny in Van Nuys. Johnny, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. You are accident prone?
Yes, I am. How's it going, Kevin and Bean?
Good, thank you. What happens to you?
Good morning.
Give us some examples of being accident prone.
Let's see. At my last job, I do air conditioning for a living. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten in quite a few accidents. But at my last job, actually got fired for getting hurt.
How'd you get hurt?
Yeah, I was up in the attic installing a couple ceiling fans, and there was some exposed electrical wire, you know, and I didn't see it. And I took a step, and I tripped and ate some crap and busted my mouth open and chipped a couple of teeth.
Wow.
Yeah, good stuff.
And that kind of stuff happens to you all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think it's because you're not paying attention?
That's because I'm high.
Well, that's different.
He's got an excuse then.
Well, you're all right then. Everything's good. Thank you, Jeff and John.
Hey, let's talk to Kevy in Newport. First of all, we've never had anyone on the show named Kevy, but you've had stitches 5 different times, Kevy?
Yes, and that's just in my face.
Oh, my God. See, this is Bean speaking. I don't think I've ever had stitches in my entire life as an example of being not accident prone. What happened to you?
Well, multiple things. I was born with the name Kevy.
Yeah, well, that's
well, you started out in trouble.
That's probably the worst.
Right. Well, one time I was somehow climbed into Dennis Rodman's lifted truck, suburban, whatever contraption you would like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting out of it because everybody realized they didn't know who the heck I was.
Right.
And took a face-first dive into the pavement.
I'd like to suggest that alcohol probably had a lot to do with your accidents.
Oh, never.
So, yes?
So, by that, you mean always.
Yes. See, here's the thing about that. I mean, again, that's not accident-prone to me. If you're drinking a lot and you get hurt, that's just you're drinking a lot and get hurt. But and Bean says no broken bones, no stitches. I'm just saying accident prone in that you hit your head on that corner of that speaker once every 2 weeks for 10 years.
Nearly as often as that. But
about the fact that you cannot back out of your own driveway?
You've wrecked 2 cars in the same driveway on the same rocks.
Listen to this. Here's an email from Adam. Now, this is a guy who I think sounds accident prone to me. Here's his list of injuries. He couldn't get through on the phone, so he emailed us. He severed his right retina, broke his wrist, split a lip, cracked a rib, has had multiple concussions, ruptured every tendon in his right pinky, and multiple breaks in the bones in his feet. And the list goes on and on. That's just to name a few. I average a semi-serious injury once a year with tons of smaller ones throughout. That guy's accident prone. That guy's got trouble.
I think that guy's abused.
He's at the extreme end. He's at the extreme end of being accident prone. You're at the lighter end of accident prone. I'm also betting that guy rides motorcycles.
Let's talk to Scott. Let's do one more call. Let's talk to Scott in Huntington. He says he's had over 20 accidents where he's gotten hurt.
Wow. Scott?
Yeah.
What happened?
Where do you want me to start?
Well, how many accidents? You had 20?
Yeah, well, let's see. I guess I'll just start off the top of my head. When I was a kid, I fell out of a tree and busted the back of my head open on some bricks.
Right. We've all done that. Go ahead.
Let's see. I was sliding open a window to get into the back of my house,
mm-hmm.
and I pushed through it, and I slid open my wrist.
Oof.
And that was
that's his story, and he's sticking to it.
Stitches. Right.
Uh-huh.
I was holding onto a skateboard on a car, and we were going 43, and I fell, and I snapped my forearm in half.
Oof.
Okay, well, that was just stupid.
Well, stupid, the good times. All right.
See, I had salmonella poisoning once, and I fainted while walking to the garage, and I busted my forehead open on a key and a doorknob.
Oh,
on a
God.
Key and a doorknob. Now, let me ask you a question, because Bean seems to be, kind of offended. Not offended, but insulted by the fact that I say he's accident-prone. Is that offensive to you or insulting?
No, not at all. But I have a sympathy for him on regards to hitting things with your head. I'm 6'6 as well.
Oh, okay.
Scott, though, is accident-prone. I mean, he buries me with the amount of things and the seriousness of the incidents in his life compared to what I've had.
Some of the seriousness he does, yeah. One more. Dylan in Ontario. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Dylan.
You're accident-prone, right?
Yeah, pretty badly.
You broke your nose how many times?
Six.
Broke your nose six times. I've broken mine three, but that's, playing basketball and stuff like that.
I've done it numerous things. I was hit by a swing when I was 3 years old.
Okay.
Swing set. Right.
Were you hit by a car, too, I see here?
Yes.
Hit by a car?
Hit by a car when I was 17. I shattered my eye socket, broke my nose, busted both my lips, split my chin, busted my left wrist, fractured three discs in my back, broke a rib.
But that's all by the car accident, though.
One car accident.
Because to me, accident prone means that kind of stuff happens to you all the time.
I've broken my other wrist. I've slit both my legs open. I've broken my foot, broken both of my hands, pinky.
Wow.
And this isn't from, like Kevin suggested, riding a motorcycle or sports.
Nope.
Or drinking.
Nope.
Okay, accident.
Wow.
You're just a doofus.
Now, Dylan, did you hear my...
With a death witch.
Did you hear my reading of Bean's accidents in the last couple, the last 10, 15 years?
Yes. While I was on hold, I heard that.
Right, would you say he's accident prone?
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. That's what we think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Dylan rules.
It's been decided.
It's been decided. Dylan gets
a death wish. I don't know that I want to listen to him.
Come on now.
Bean is accident prone guy. Bean is accident prone guy. Bean is accident prone guy. Get out of his way.
Rob is on vacation. We are keeping up with the showbiz beat in his absence. We were talking earlier this morning about a story that I think deserves some revisiting. Yesterday, you heard about actor Eddie Griffin. He's starring in this new film, Red Line, and he was practicing in a charity race a couple of days ago, driving one of these $1.5 million Ferrari Enzos. Now, this is the car. It's gotten pretty famous because there was one who was, there was a guy who wrecked one out on the PCH in Malibu last year.
Right.
There are only 400 made, and they cost $1.5 million each. And Eddie Griffin, on video, wrecked this car while training for this race. And we talked about the story yesterday, and it got picked up, and you saw it on TV a lot, and you heard a lot about, hey, here's Eddie Griffin, and he gets out of the car, and he's all laughing and joking about, oh, the undercover brother, man, he can do karate, but he sure can't drive, right? Everybody had a big laugh about it.
Can I hear your impression again, please?
No, you cannot. No, you cannot. And then TMZ.com brings up an interesting question, which is maybe the whole thing was nothing more than just a publicity stunt to get people to be aware of the new Eddie Griffin film called Red Line that's coming out. Isn't it possible that they wrecked the car on purpose? So we brought that up this morning, and producer Lighting, of course, was just incensed at the thought of it because he says nobody wrecks $1.5 million car just to promote a movie. Then we point out that, I don't know, the guy who owns the car is one of the producers of the movie.
Hmm.
What do you guys think is going on?
He would benefit with the publicity.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. More than $1.5 million worth if the movie ends up being a big hit. And then, Kevin, you brought up in watching the video a couple of times yesterday that there does seem to be a photographer guy who's standing around who doesn't seem to be the tiniest bit surprised that Eddie Griffin runs into the wall with $1.5 million call.
And there's also the video of him driving. He's going, I don't know, 40, 50 miles an hour. He's not flying. And it cuts to the actual impact of hitting the wall. There's no what happened before.
Yeah, it's not like it spun out or anything.
And the cameraman's not fast enough to throw up his camera and get the car hitting the wall.
Right.
It's just weird.
The whole thing's weird. And then we started, talking about the possibility that maybe it wasn't $1.5 million car. Maybe we're led to believe that that's the case. Maybe it was a duplicate car because they always have to make multiple versions of every car that they put in an action film because they got to shoot them from different angles. They got to cut off the back of them to shoot them in some ways. They got to wreck some of them. Then we got an interesting call from somebody on the inside who had this to offer.
Dave made four cars of each one of those for the movie, and they were all clones. They were about $350,000 to make, and they used a clone yesterday.
Oh.
There was no way they would destroy a $1 million car.
And they were talking about this for weeks on doing something, you know, to bring in, because no one didn't know about the movie.
That's what he says. Lightning is typing on the screen. I want to reach through the wall and strangle you. You're all stupid.
Because no one has ever faked anything to promote a movie, right? Because it has to be 100% legit in Lightning's eyes. Because who would even make it appear like you were wrecking a car this valuable? Is that what he's suggesting?
Yes.
Look, we don't know what happened, but I want to applaud TMZ.com for bringing up the possibility that maybe we're all being hoaxed on this. And, you know, if there's one thing you've learned about the Kevin and Bean Show, it's that we don't tolerate hoaxes.
That's okay? Right.
We are against hoaxes.
Anna Nicole Smith's toothbrush is for sale on eBay. Apparently, the woman who cleaned her room in the Four Seasons Hotel in Miami in 1995 kept her toothbrush, her used toothbrush, and then gave it to her best friend who put it up on eBay. So now you can buy a used toothbrush from Anna Nicole Smith, you big
you
fans.
You mean 2005, I hope.
Yeah, what did I say?
1995.
No, 2005.
We asked earlier if DNA lasts that long, and I was thinking, yeah, they've dug people up to get DNA. So, yeah, there's probably still DNA on there. I don't know what you want to do with it, but...
Well, there's probably a dozen guys out there who think they could be the baby daddy and, you know, are unable to get Anna or the baby to, you know, any kind of DNA out of them. So maybe this is the answer. You buy the toothbrush, do your own test.
That could be.
That's not what this story is suggesting. This story is only saying it's on sale on eBay. And I can't imagine, other than the DNA test, why you would want that.
Yeah, that is not that's not a sexy item. I'm sorry. One more note. We haven't mentioned this yet today, but we will, because I know we got a lot of Laguna Beach fans listing. Jessica Smith, who's one of the hotties on the TV show Laguna Beach. Mike, I'm sure you're all over Jessica. Sure. Well, she was arrested Monday after the 19-year-old was pulled over in a VW Bug and apparently caused a crash on the Santa Ana Freeway in Los Angeles. Police report said it was a combination of her level of intoxication, unsafe speed, and wet roadways. She crashed into the rear of an Acura. I love it, by the way, when you're drinking, driving in an accident, and still under 21. That's my favorite kind of story.
That's good.
According to
by the way, here's a tip. If you're going to drive drunk, do it when the roads are wet.
According to TMZ, as of this morning when I picked up the story, she is currently in an Orange County jail and looking for $100,000 bail to get out of prison. So there's a spinoff of Laguna Beach right there. That's a hot
chicks
story
in prison.
There. No kidding. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Julia Stiles, who's terrific in everything. Save the Last Dance, 10 Things I Hate About You. She is 26 years old today. Our pal Vince Vaughn from Wedding Crashers, Dodgeball, and so many great movies is 37 years old today. And Lisa's pal Reba McEntire. Lisa went on a show that had been running strong for 7 years on the CW. And before that, WB made one appearance, they instantly canceled it.
That's
not
true.
Draw your own conclusions there.
Killed
her. But Reba, if she survived, is 52. And that is the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
So I get an email. Hey, man, I was listening to K-Rock this weekend. I think this was maybe 2 weeks ago. And I heard Jed come in on Saturday. And he was telling a story about how he got in a fist fight with a retarded midget. You guys,
Jed the Fish from our own Jed the Fish.
You guys have to talk to him about it. It involves boob grabbing a little person and Jed's pants coming undone. It was awesome, Maddie.
Dude, it's quite a story.
So we figured we would have to get to the bottom of this story.
Yeah.
Good morning from Jed and Fishem boys.
Jed, this ring a bell, this email, you know what this guy's talking about? Because we have not heard this story.
I was on my way to Moscow on my trip to the Soviet Union. I had a three-way with Mark Allman from Soft Cell and this club chick from the Moscow Underground, and there was a midget there. I just remember huffing glue in the subway, and next thing I know, they're saying I raped someone. Kirkyu.
Okay, that doesn't sound anything like the story we heard.
No. I remember another time I was sniffing glue. I was in a rickshaw in Thailand. Next thing I know, I was with Bananarama pushing hot dogs through donuts.
Okay.
I don't know what you're
saying. I know you've got an unusual past, and you've been in a lot of situations, and it's tough for you to keep them all straight. But I think this guy is referring to something that you were talking about on your show a couple of weeks ago that may have happened recently. Could it have involved maybe a trip through the California desert that you might recall?
Oh, maybe it was Coachella 2000 when I was with the Divinals and on a moped with Sausalito cold cuts and a backpack.
No.
And that's when I remember... No.
Jed, I think this was 2 weeks ago. I don't think it was Coachella 2000.
Oh, that's
what's that?
Right. I was on a plane to Lodi with the drummer for Erasure and eating mushrooms and with mainlining vodka with Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Jed, do I hear sleigh bells at your house? What the hell is going on here?
Hanging my Christmas tree in my chicken farm, Carrick.
We need a translator. Does anyone speak Jed?
No, God no.
Look, I've listened to your show, Jed, and I never have any idea what the hell you're talking about. But I figured, you know, that's just an act. And I figure off the air, we have a conversation with you. Jed, are you okay?
Jed? I'm on a train right now.
You're not on a train.
I am.
You're not on a train.
Taking the Greyhound to San Diego to catch the new Devo revival show. Should be quite interesting. This slide whistle.
I feel like we're not connecting with Jed anymore.
I do too. Jed, do you know who this is? It's Kevin B. We work with you at K-Rock. We're on the same radio station as you. We're just trying to get some information.
What?
Stunning. It's stirring me right now.
Our hair?
Yeah.
You can't see us.
Or can I?
God almighty, what happened?
I'm on a constant search for people that make me look smart. And I think I found just the guy. I'm sure you saw the story, Bean. You follow the news very closely. But there were two guys that were giving little kids pot.
Okay.
In Texas. Little kids. They were having them smoke out.
Right.
And they did a news piece, you know, on the news about it, and they interviewed the uncle of this kid. And the uncle of this kid makes me look like an Ivy League professor. I mean,
now, the uncle of the kid who was distributing the pot or the uncle of one of the kids who smoked the pot?
The uncle of the kid was giving the kid pot to smoke.
Okay, so this is the perp, the guy
yes.
we're going to hear. Okay.
And the news, in his opinion, is just blowing this out of proportion. But wait till you hear this interview.
Investigators are shocked, and so is anyone who's seen the video. Police say it shows two Texas men lighting marijuana cigarettes and encouraging two small children to smoke them.
Now, here's what I like. Two small children smoking pot, and they're videotaping it.
Brilliant.
Smart. So that's good.
Both men have been charged with injury to a child. One of them is the kid's uncle. He says the media just has blown the whole story out of proportion.
Okay, now here's the uncle. Might be the dumbest man alive.
I seen it on TV how y'all embarrass me.
I can see it on TV, y'all embarrass me.
Kids and your kids weed, but still, y'all making it just over. Y'all over exaggerating, man.
Y'all over exaggerating, you know?
Is that what he said?
Yeah, I speak
exaggerating.
The whole thing, y'all taking it too far.
Okay, now here's my favorite part. So now he's saying it's the media's fault.
Yeah, because they're taking it too far. He's the one who gave the drugs to 5-year-olds, but the media are taking it too far.
Right. They're over exaggerating, Bean. And now he goes on to say that at some point, the 5-year-old is going to end up smoking pot anyway.
Oh, good.
Right? I mean, sure. don't all kids?
Some kids is going to smoke sooner or later, you know?
So sooner is better, right, in his opinion.
Kids are going to smoke it sooner or later.
Look,
you know?
Why wait till he's like 11 or 12, okay? Why not get him started early?
Introduce him early. So they're 5. You guys are blowing this out of proportion. Kevin Amin, Citizen of the Day.
Nice.
I love people like that. Make me look smart.
You can't get dumber than that.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Did you hear that? I started talking before I turned on my microphone.
Yeah, I was wondering what was going on there. That was good time.
That's talented broadcasting right there. All right, 940. Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. You get on the air, you get a prize.
I got to be honest, I'm delighted with the Apple company. Of course, I'm an Apple user, as is Kevin. We couldn't be happier about giving away these sleek new MacBooks. Use it to create your own music, movies, websites, and more. Head to the Apple Store or Apple.com for details. But I'll be glad when we're done with this week of giveaways, because the BSers are coming out of the woodwork. The stories are all too good to be true that people are calling with now to try to win a brand new computer.
It's kind of a shame, but that is what happens, is they try to come up with the best story ever, and then it's, of course, not true, so we have to call it. Now, of course, we just have to guess, too. So we're going to play our new game, Computer or T-Shirt? Might be a little too much echo. We have to decide if it's a good story and if they're telling the truth. We have 3 MacBooks to give away.
Okay.
Everybody else gets T-Shirts.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. I hope Bob from Lake Elsinore is telling us the truth, because if he is, this is one of my favorite stories, not just of today, but of all time. Good morning, Bob. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
He gets all three computers if it's good. All right, Bob, hi.
Hi.
What'd
it
do?
I was in Scottsdale a few weeks ago for the Barrett Jackson car auction. Saw Tim Allen and figured it was an opportunity I couldn't pass up. I went up to him, asked him to take a picture. He took the picture somewhat graciously. After the picture, I said, hey, what's up with you dissing Omar from Kevin and Bean?
Okay, hold on 1 second. I just want to butt in. I want to tell people who don't know this. Omar worships Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Thinks he's really funny. He's the only one standing up for Tim Allen movies. Every time there's a Tim Allen movie that comes out, we bash it. And he's like, no, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. I'm going to go. Big fan all the time, him. And argues with us. Takes a lot of abuse. I mean, just totally loves the guy.
Omar even went to Santa Claus 3. That's how much of a Tim Allen fan he is. Yeah. He went to Wild Hogs. I mean, he sees everything Tim Allen's in. He can't wait.
Now, what happened when you met him?
When I met him, he was a giant a-hole. I was at the SC3 world premiere, and I went up to him, you know, and, you know, you figure he's out there, you know, publicizing his movie, that he would be up for taking a picture, you know?
Right.
So at first I didn't really want to, but my girlfriend's, you know, you're not going to get another chance. So I go up to him and say, hey, Tim, you know, can I take a picture with me? And, I mean, you know, he looked at me like, I guess, whatever, you know. So then, I mean, reluctantly took a picture with me. And, you know, the picture's up at KROQ.com on the Kevin Bean Sites portion. But he just looks like he hates me.
He's miserable.
He's miserable. He's hating life at the time.
He does hate you.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bob heard that story. Bob, you asked Tim Allen about Omar.
Right.
And he said,
and why he dissed Omar from Kevin and Bean. He calls me a smartass and walks away.
No kidding. He's kind of a jerk.
He called you a smartass. Oh, I thought he was talking about Omar calling him a smartass.
No, he called me a smartass for asking about Omar.
I see.
No, that's not as good a story as we were hoping.
Not as good. I get out Omar.
But he meant that Omar was a smartass.
He did. Of course he meant
that. I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's two for two.
No,
that's
computer for you.
That's not good.
All right. We'll decide at the end. We'll keep track and decide at the end which three calls win the MacBooks, which three win the T-shirts. But, Omar, I suspect Omar is not done with Tim Allen. I suspect there's more of that story will eventually unfold.
All right. Noah in Pasadena. I hope this is true. Good morning, Noah.
Hey, guys.
What do you do, nephew?
All right, so my friend and his girlfriend are at a party, and they decide to go out to her car for a little bit of oral lovin'.
Right.
And while she's giving him all she can give him, somebody runs into the car.
You mean another car hits the car they're in?
Another car hits the car they're in, and that causes her to bite down. And then as she's biting down, she has her little gag reflex, and that causes her to throw up all over his lap.
No.
No.
See, that's another one of those stories that's just way too good to be true. We want it to be true.
That's not, I'm calling BS on that. I'm sorry.
I could have him give you a call tomorrow.
Please do.
And I don't know if the girl's going to give you a call. She was a little too embarrassed.
Yeah, well, it'll be too late for the computer. You won't win for calling in now, but I would like to do some follow-up and find out if that story is true.
We'll have to take a vote on that.
I'm totally calling BS on that.
All right.
What do you think, Lisa?
I don't think so. It sounds like, what was that movie with Robin Williams where that happened?
Hulk.
Garth? No, Garth? I can't think of it, but anyway, it sounds like it's right out of a movie.
Hulk.
I don't know.
Not Garp. Yeah, Garp.
Garp. World According to Garp. Yeah, it happened in that movie. Sounds just like it.
How do you remember that movie?
I remember that scene from that movie. Are you kidding?
Mike in Whittier. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going? What it do, nephew?
What it do?
How's it going, Lisa?
Hello.
About a week and a half ago during finals, I was trying to turn in a project in my professor's office, and I had to crawl under his desk to plug in my little memory stick into his computer.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm under there, I hear him tell some other students, you know, come back later, I'm busy right now. And so then I pop my head out from under the desk, and they look at each other and start laughing and walk away. I just heard it all day long while I was in class.
So the other students were told by your professor, come back later, I'm busy, and you were under his desk.
Yeah, plugging it in. And, of course, nobody wanted to believe me when I told them what was really happening.
Yeah, you were plugging it in.
Yeah, you were plugging it in fact.
Awesome. I like that. All right, hold on. Let's see. Let's go. Let's talk to Matt in Irvine, who apparently can give us some clarification on the Jed the Fish midget.
Because I know less now than I did before. Frankly,
episode. Matt, good morning.
To him.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Lisa May.
Hey, Matt.
So you were listening when Jed told the story originally?
Yeah, it was awesome. I swear I could not make this up. I don't think he's smart enough or funny enough to make this up either. So
he's pretty smart, but go ahead.
I was listening on a Saturday, and he had just come into the radio station, and he was at our diner, and there was a little person, aka midget, with Down syndrome, and the
Hey, this story just got not funny. All right, go ahead.
So the he knew a lady in the restaurant, so the lady goes up to give him a hug, and the midget gets all excited, starts kissing the lady, and grabs her boob. So Jed tries to pull the midget off of the lady, and he ends up wrestling with her, and all the people in the restaurant are like, hey, he's beating up on a midget. And so it ends up, funny enough, oddly enough, Jed ends up on the ground wrestling with the midget, and he said his pants came undone. So everybody at the restaurant thought that he was trying to rape this retarded midget.
But he was just trying to help.
Yeah, he was just trying to help.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's a great story.
Look what a guy gets for trying to help.
I'm surprised you guys didn't hear about it. You guys got to dig up the tape on that. It's awesome.
All right. Thank you. We tried to get Jed on the phone, but he wouldn't talk to us. So.
Yeah, I guess really? I thought that's who we talked to. Did we have Jed on earlier this hour?
Yeah, sure. Joseph at Anaheim. Good morning.
Hey, morning, guys. What's going on?
What'd it do, nephew?
Not much. What'd it do? Morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Joseph.
I was at my cousin's birthday party a couple weeks ago, and I'm a beer drinker, and they're all taking shots of Bacardi, and they're all taking flaming shots, and they convinced me to take one after I have so many beers.
Mm-hmm.
So they light this thing on fire, and they turn off the lights, and, you know, they're telling me to take it, So after about 2 minutes, I finally... shot glass is hotter than hell because it's been on fire the whole time. So instead of putting it to my lips, I decided to kind of splash it into my mouth. Well, doing that, I splash alcohol all over my face, and my face catches on fire.
Dude.
I take off my sweatshirt, and I'm smothering in the corner, and because I got my sweatshirt on, so when I took it off, it smothered the fire.
Yeah.
Singed my eyebrows, singed my hair, my lips were blistered, and to this day, I'm still getting calls from random friends of my cousin reliving the story to me.
You get the Dumbass of the Day Award.
I know that happens.
That's awesome. Have you ever had flaming Dr. Peppers?
I have not. I've never even heard of it.
That's where you take a beer and you fill it up about three quarters full. Then you take a flaming shot of 151 and like Kahlua or something. You drop the shot in the beer and then you chug the whole thing. But
just
you don't.
Brilliant.
But
people,
here's the thing: you don't
fire and alcohol.
You don't pour it all over your face. I think that might be the downfall.
I definitely realized that now.
That's fantastic.
At least
that's
awesome. If you ever did want to pour something all over your face,
all right, Gene Simmons, that's fine. That's
got
fine.
It. Thank you.
Hey, let's do one more. Let's talk to Laura in Lake Paris, and then we've got to. We're out of time. We're going to have to decide who gets the computer, who gets the T-shirt. Hey, Laura, what it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Hi there.
Hi,
Laura. Well, what it do, nephew?
What are you calling about?
I'm calling because I came home early one day, and then I caught my dad wearing my mom's panties, and he had a gay magazine right there on
nope.
the bed.
Didn't happen. Yep. That just didn't happen. That didn't happen.
Yep. We applaud your active imagination, but no computer for you. Okay, thank you. Hold on. Congratulations on your Kevin B. T-shirt.
Wait a minute. I just want to clarify. He was wearing your mom's underwear and reading gay porn.
I swear, I caught my dad like naked a couple times when I came home early because he's been home early from work. And
no.
We don't know for a fact, but we do have to guess, and we're guessing that's bogus.
You know, you've had years to call in and tell us that story, but you chose today when there's a brand new Apple computer on the line. That's part of what makes me suspicious.
All right, we have to pick three of these. Noah from Pasadena, friend receiving oral in car hit by another car she bit down.
Nah.
Don't believe it, right?
Nope.
Don't believe it.
Mike and Whittier, embarrassed moment. He was under the professor's desk. He told the other students to come back. He's busy right now, and then he showed his face, and everybody thought.
I say yes on Mike.
All right. Mike gets a computer. Bob, Lake Elsinore, met Tim Allen. Tim Allen told me he's a dumbass.
The story petered out at the end, but I have to give Bob a great deal of credit for having the presence of mind to bring up Omar, to talk to Tim Allen about Omar. I almost want to reward him for that.
I do agree.
That was strong. Okay.
All right.
Computer is. And let's see. Matt and Irvine heard the real Jed story. Told us that. That was pretty good.
And brought it to life.
It was good. However, Joseph catching his face on fire with the flaming 151, I almost think deserves the computer a little bit more.
Yeah. So we're going to reward a guy for catching his own face on fire.
Yes, we are. Hey,
that is new Mac for you.
The new MacBook actually has a built-in EyeSight camera. You can, next time this happens, you can take a picture in real time and email it to us.
Joseph, congratulations. The dumbass move of the day gets you a computer.
Thanks.
Nicely done.
Everyone else gets a K-Rock t-shirt. Congratulations.
You get the idea he's blind now because of the fire? You can't see it anyway?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Let me see. Any guests on today's show? As usual, new. But tomorrow, look out. We got a hell of a show for you.
We do. We have comedian David Alan Greer. He's doing some stand-up. He's going to be in our studio. We have a segment that we like to call Tyra Banks Really Blows. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I'm boycotting that just on principle. I don't even know what it's about.
Banks really blowing. They're opening a new Hooters in Israel. That's another story that we're going to cover tomorrow.
Huh.
We're going to talk to Cesar Millan.
I love the dog whisperer. I love him.
Cesar, do you think you can help Lisa with her dog? Because her dog's pretty much running
out. Lisa, listen, you do not take your dog on a walk. You go for a walk. The dog is lucky enough to come along, okay? You have to be the alpha dog, the trailblazer, the trendsetter.
I try.
Do you remember the prom queen in high school? Do you remember the prom queen?
Yeah.
Do you remember the level of confidence that she had to be a leader?
Yeah.
That is how you have to beat your dogs.
I'm trying, Cesar.
Wow, when Caesar's done with you, Caesar's done with you.
He's doing that to her.
Kind of mean.
And we have in-studio guest Chris Cornell, who's going to be here. He's going to be singing music, which we're very excited about, from Soundgarden, from Temple of the Dog, from Audio Slave, all kinds of stuff tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's in the 8 o'clock hour, so tune in then. And all day today and all morning tomorrow again, listen to K-Rock to score a key that could start your own Honda Civic Hybrid, custom designed by Fall Out Boy. Plus, you get tickets for their show, backstage passes, and their new CD.
All right. Kat Corbett is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. There's a new band called the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I am unfamiliar with them, but their song is called Hump to Bump, and we'll be playing you that as part of 40
Minutes.
That
isn't good for you.
Well, maybe. Plus, Rise Against Prayer for the Refugee is awesome. Smashing Pumpkins, Green Day, Nirvana, and so much more right after this on good old K-Rock.